This is the Gremium Report. The unusual, weird news, anomalies, exopolitics. It's beyond the fringe, where conspiracy theory can become conspiracy fact. This is the Gremium Report with your host, Mike Evans.
Well, not from hundreds of miles beneath terra firma. For a change, we're actually broadcasting from another location, but I am still your mouth of the South, Micah Hanks, and welcome one and all to the Gremium Report. Another week of wildness, another week of weirdness. Here we are, broadcasting to you. Glad to be here with you. Broadcasting, in fact, from a haunted mansion in western North Carolina. I'm joined in studio, as always, well, in this makeshift studio. We're still working out some of the audio. Hopefully, folks who are listening live right now find it listenable at this point. We'll be working on things throughout the evening. But joining me in our makeshift studio here at our haunted mansion broadcast, the Gremium Report, to my right, the producer extraordinaire of the program, Mr. Chris Hayes. Chris, how are you?
I'm absolutely fabtabulous tonight.
Fabtabulous. That's a good way to be. And, of course, across from me, pushing all the right buttons, looking up news stories, following the New Hampshire primary results tonight, our engineer, Mr. Matt Oakley. Matt, how are you?
I'm good, and God, did I miss you guys last week.
Yeah, I know. Well, we missed you too, actually.
Wait, I thought the election wasn't until Thursday.
Yes, that's right. The election, that's the way it goes. We're joined by a very special guest on this week's edition of the program. I was going to hold off until the first segment, but I think we'll go ahead and introduce him now. My good friend, Mr. Billy Sanders, who is our host with the ghost tonight as we broadcast live from his home, a very special residence in western North Carolina, known as the Reynolds Mansion. Billy, good evening. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me on tonight, and welcome to the Reynolds Mansion.
Yes, we get to welcome all of our guests, and of course, we have guests who join us. We're your guests tonight, but every week we have guests from all around the world on the internet who join us here on the program, the Gremium Report, to hear what we're going to talk about, what kind of adventures we're into. And let me just tell you, folks, tonight you're going to be hearing not only some fantastic stories about actual real-life paranormal phenomena, in a house that dates back to prior to the Civil War. You're also going to hear little ticks and little tinklings and little ringings of bells and things in the background because, like I said, we are actually in a haunted mansion. It's now a bed and breakfast operated by our friend here, Mr. Billy Sanders, who's going to be joining us and talking about this a little bit on the program tonight, among the other kinds of things that we normally talk about on the program. And I'll tell you, you're going to hear, like, there are grandfather clocks down the hallway that every 15 minutes, is that right, Billy, every 15?
That is correct.
We start hearing these things ringing. So it's just incredible. I can't wait just to see how this goes. And what we've been hoping for all week is that, now, we happen to have a bunch of condenser microphones in here in the studio, but Chris here is broadcasting on a dynamic microphone. We're hoping that Chris might pick up something otherworldly and strange, because I have a sneaking suspicion that a dynamic microphone might actually interact with, you know, some sort of a strange energy that might be in a location like this. I've heard a lot of good electronic voice phenomena, EVP in my day. Who knows where this is going to go, but if you're listening live right now, and you have friends who are not, tell them to tune in right now because you never know what's going to happen. This is live. This is unplanned. All hell could break loose for all I know.
Chris could get killed.
Chris could die tonight.
Again.
That's right. Yes. And we don't want for that, you know, to happen, of course, but hopefully things will go well. Now, listen, last week on the program, I do want to make a brief addenda because I misspoke, and if Micah A. Hanks misspeaks, I like to correct myself. I don't like to leave people, you know, thinking that, you know, I'm just some sort of pompous airhead who will just say anything, whether or not it's actually correct. Now, last week on this program, I was contacted by a gentleman after I spoke with Chris in studio about the inner workings of this dynamic microphone of Chris's right here. I had referred to it as a cardioid microphone, and David Schwab wrote, and he said, Micah, I've been enjoying your work for a while now on various shows, and I just subscribed to the Gremium Report. Well, thank you, David. You have a new listener. Welcome to the program. In the segment where you were talking about electronic voice phenomena and microphones, you say cardioid, but I think you meant dynamic. Cardioid is the shape of the pattern that microphone cartridge picks up. Cardioid means heart-shaped. It picks up in front and is the shape of the bottom of a heart and around to the sides of the microphone as well, and then nothing in the back. So it has an indented V shape. Now, both dynamic and condenser microphones can have a cardioid or omnidirectional pattern. The two main types of mics are dynamic and condenser. Condenser mics require power and use either a battery for the cheap ones or phantom power. Dynamic mics don't use power at all. Dynamic mics have a coil in the mic element, like the one that Chris is using here. It's an MXL broadcast microphone. The coil can inductively couple with magnetic fields and produce a signal. And this is why the coils hooked up to the amp were picked up by the mics. Guitar pickups work in a similar way. through magnetic induction. And he explains, yes, I build guitar pickups. Keep up the good work, David. David, thank you for writing in with that information. So now we know a little bit more about the science, not only of how a guitar pickup works, but how that microphone, yes, indeed, how that microphone might indeed pick up sounds from other worlds. Now, I'm sure people who are listening for the first time right now are thinking, what's he talking about? How does he claim to know anything about how a microphone is supposed to pick up voices from beyond? Well, if you don't listen already to this program on a weekly basis, I have to tell you, you need to tune in to the podcast. You can download it on iTunes. You can also download it at www.graliereport.com. Go check it out. Last week's edition of the program, when we were sans engineer, Chris was working double time over here, that program will explain to you my theory as to how exactly a microphone like the one that Chris is using here tonight could pick up strange voices, and how in many instances I've been given evidence of what I think may actually be voices that are, I won't say that they're ghosts. I couldn't tell you, first of all, what a ghost is. We know what we think, you know, philosophically that a ghost is supposed to be, but I couldn't tell you exactly that that is indeed what we're dealing with, ghosts. But I'll tell you this, that I couldn't explain where these voices were indeed coming from. So I thought that was kind of strange. While we're getting to listener emails, I think I'll go to one more real quick. The Scientist, one of our listeners, that's his moniker. He operates by The Scientist. You like that? We'll have to come up with a nickname for you tonight as well, Billy. Okay. But The Scientist writes, I really enjoyed your podcast. I'd like to comment on the dead birds in Arkansas. Folks, remember this? It was New Year's Eve last week, and there were all these red-winged blackbirds that were found dead around BB, Arkansas. Now, it happened 1 year prior to this as well, and people are creeped out by this. What in the world could be going on? Now, the official explanation that was issued was indeed that what we were dealing with were fireworks. Fireworks had startled the birds. Everyone freaked out, and these birds were flying into things and, of course, died from blunt force trauma, you know, resulting from concussions and things like that. Well, The Scientist writes, he said, on its head, the official explanation involving fireworks sounds absurd to me. Come on. That many birds almost simultaneously suffer the equivalent of a heart attack due to a loud noise mixed with bright lights. The alternative contemplation offered by Micah, and he's crediting me, that's a problem already. The alternative contemplation offered by Micah, involving a distortion of the Earth's magnetic field by which birds and fish navigate, sounds much better. But I have difficulty with the fact that this phenomenon happened last New Year's Eve as well. It's just too coincidental. I'm sure there are other conventional explanations to muse over. However, I'm not sure that the conspiracy theory over a local harp-like discharge is so far-fetched. After all, what better way to mask such an experiment than with NYE, New Year's Eve, fireworks, covered by a seemingly innocuous firework explanation? Now, note that I say harp-like because I'm not sure it was harp. Harp, of course, he's referring to the, what does that stand for, Matt? Is it high altitude, auroral something project, which is based...
Something to that effect. I can't remember off the top of my head.
I'll Google it.
Yes, and it's good. To the Googles! And it's
Wikipedia, Chris.
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
Well, that's, yes, indeed. You can find anything on Wikipedia. And folks, you know, who are wanting to follow along, if you're not familiar with what we're talking about, it's an acronym, H, all capital letters, H-A-A-R-P. No, that's not an insurance. What is it? Anyway, okay, bad joke. Just going to leave that one out.
That's A-A-R-P.
Yes, indeed, yes. HARP is in reference to a joint project between, I think, the University of Alaska and also... who is it? I think, I can't remember which branch of government. But anyway, there are a lot of conspiracy theories about weather manipulation carried out by HARP. Chris Hayes has more.
It's the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program.
Thank you. That's the one we were looking for right there, and that's what HARP stands for. So anyway, The Scientist, our listener here who wrote in, and again, that's the name he uses. He said, I'm not sure it was HARP. I do not know if it is capable of delivering local bursts, whatever this energy was. There are other ways to generate waves in the kilohertz range. Blackbirds can hear up to 10K. If this was some weird experiment that had side effects of killing these poor birds, then it's likely that the intensity of the burst was through the roof. Just my take on it. Those are from the listeners.
I've actually got a theory on this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you know, we all know how much birds like to party. And it was New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you what I think it was. You remember all that hype a while back about those alcohol energy drinks, like the Four Locos and all that jazz.
Right.
That's exactly what it was.
The birds succumbed to the vile influence of alcoholic energy drinks.
Frat boy strengths.
Well, that's a terrible thing. Well, folks, when we come back, we're going to be discussing ghosts and hauntings live. This is our first, I think, with this program. I've done a lot of radio over the years, probably for almost a decade. I've been doing live remotes and things, but let me tell you, folks, this is the first time the Graylian Report has been broadcasting live from a remote location. We are at the Reynolds Mansion in Western North Carolina, and our host with the ghost this evening, Mr. Billy Sanders, is with us. We're going to talk with Billy about ghosts, hauntings, and how they relate to the Reynolds Mansion, our remote location here for the Graylian Report this evening. When we come back here on the program, that and more, and, of course, New Hampshire primary coverage. As the results of the polls are coming in all evening, I'm Micah Hanks, the Mouth in the South, with a fantastic and colorful cast joining me here in the studio. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
As a parent, you can't help but look at your child and wonder what the future holds. You may dream about the possibility of your son or daughter becoming a professional athlete or a renowned heart surgeon. But while you're dreaming, consider this. The odds that your child will be diagnosed with autism are 1 in 110. Knowing the signs of autism and getting an early diagnosis could make a world of difference to your child and to you. To learn the signs, visit AutismSpeaks.org, brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Skype users can reach the program by calling Skype ID Graylian Report. And now, from hundreds of miles beneath terra firma, in the depths of the hollow earth, live from the Graylian bunker, it's Micah Hanks.
We're your voice of reason in an unreasonable world. Welcome back to the program. I'm Micah Hanks. It is the Graylian Report, your weekly hub for the strange and unusual. Thank you for joining us here on the program for our live broadcast from Reynolds Mansion here in the dark heart of the Appalachian Mountains. You know, I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there who are very interested in what we're doing tonight, where this conversation could go. And I wish I could tell you, because, well, there's a certain terror that lingers in the air when you don't know if a ghost is going to come walking in the room. I'm going to scare Billy, bless his heart. No, it's nothing to be scared of. There's a tremendously warm it's a positive energy here at Reynolds Mansion. But people do say that they see spirits at this location. And in a sense, I wish I could tell you what we expect is going to happen tonight, but I can't, okay? I cannot tell you because we haven't scripted this. We haven't planned it out. Whatever happens is going to happen live, and you're going to hear it here first here on the Graylian Report. And so with that said, I think we're going to go ahead and open the phone lines. And so we'll do that. And, of course, for those of you who didn't hear the voice of the mountains, Mr. John Anderson, always glad to have John Anderson announcing for the program. He already gave the call-in information. I'm going to give it to you one more time if you didn't have time to get a pencil and paper. Here's how you call into the program. Billy, would you be okay with that, with taking a few phone calls during the program?
Absolutely.
Okay, Billy says we're okay with that. So if folks have questions as we're going along, we will actually take live calls. Here is the call-in information again if you want to reach the program. I know that there are a lot of people in the Western North Carolina area who will be very interested in this. but you can call in from anywhere you want to. If you've got a cell phone and you've got long-distance coverage, that's probably going to help because it's an 828 number if you want to use the telephone lines. That's going to be 828-398-4886 to call into the program. Now, if you have Skype, alternatively, that's a good way to reach us just as well. Skype ID is Graylien Report. That's G-R-A-L-I-E-N Report. Very easy to find us there, so you can call us on Skype just as well. For those who are who would prefer not to call into the program, if you'd like to send information along in a different way, you can also email us at info@graylienreport.com. We're going to talk about emails here in just a second, but also there's another way that you can reach the program. You can also send us a text message here at the program anytime. And that number to send the text messages to is 828-367-7201. But all that information is at our website, graylienreport.com. If you're online and you're listening right now, just direct your web browser to www.graylienreport.com. And on the toolbar at the top of the page, on the right side, you'll see Graylien Report on the radio. Just click that and you'll see an entire page comes up with all the information I've given you, and that's how you can reach us here on the program. So we'll be taking live calls from people who have questions about ghosts and hauntings and questions for our host with the ghost this evening, Mr. Billy Sanders, who was gracious enough to join us here on the program and talk a little bit about this. And with that said, the Mouth of the South is going to stop rambling. I'm going to hand it over to Mr. Billy. Billy, how does one come into living, taking residence in a place like the Reynolds Mansion?
Well, you know, I had always known that I would one day run a bed and breakfast. And so when I started looking, I actually started looking at bed and breakfasts that were actually up and running, making a profit.
Yeah.
But when we came across Reynolds Mansion, it, of course, was in very bad shape, and it needed some restoration done. It had been shut down since about 2003, so there was a lot of restoration work to be done on it. We knew that Reynolds Mansion was haunted when we bought it because it, of course, is in a lot of books and on the web. And so I'd done some investigation, so I knew it had the history of being haunted. But when I saw it for the first time, I knew immediately that that's where I would live. But it meant that it was going to be a lot of work, and it was actually 7 months of work. We had three crews working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to do restoration on it. And it opened on April 15th of last year. Having been built in 1847, the number of people that have passed, been born, died, that have gone through this house, it's kind of staggering when you start thinking about it.
Oh, yeah.
And the names. And so all those people have left a presence here and an energy. And, you know, I kind of think that stuff sometimes kind of permeates back out for whatever reason.
You know, there's a great quote, and actually I think I've got it here someplace because, you know, we're going to be making an incredible, very exciting announcement here on the program for the very first time tonight. We might as well get to that here in a moment, and that's going to explain why I've got in front of me a list of quotes from Victoria Winters, okay, the character that was portrayed for the television program back in the 1960s and early 70s, Dark Shadows. Alexandra Moltke, of course, was the actress that played Victoria Winters, the protagonist. There's a quote I have here from her, and she says, "I believe in a past, and I believe in a present, and I think that sometimes at a very special moment they become confused. They meet, and I think that perhaps tonight was one of those nights." I think all of us here present are certainly hoping that it's going to be one of those evenings here tonight just as well. But the reason I've begun to collect these quotes from the character of, and other characters as well, but primarily from Victoria Winters from the Dark Shadows program, is because when I first came here, one of the most striking things about the room where we are right now, how many rooms are in the place, Billy?
There are 18 rooms in the house.
18 rooms, three stories. There's a basement, you know, all the grounds, other buildings on the grounds. I mean, it's really more like, you know, Reynolds Manor or estate, to not just Reynolds Mansion. I mean, it's incredible. But the first thing that really caught my eye when I came in here, the very first time I came up here with our dear friend Marty Marfia, who couldn't be with us tonight, you led me into this room, the library, and here on the wall, directly above me, I'm pointing at it right now. I wish I had the webcam in the studio so people could see this, is this painting of none other than Jonathan Frid as Barnabas Collins. It's an identical painting that Billy had commissioned. It's identical to the one that hung in the hallway going out the door in Collinwood on the Dark Shadows program. And here's the Eerie Keeper of Collinwood right there on the wall. And then adjacent to it, we also have Josette Collins, of course, his long-lost love. And then hanging there off the left corner of the portrait of Barnabas Collins, then we've got that cane. It's a replica cane just like the one that Barnabas is holding in the painting right there that Jonathan Frid, the actor, had on the program. So I see that, and I'm just thinking, my God, this house, this place, the stories, the families that lived here, the people who came and went, the history, it's Collinwood to me. This is so neat. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, this is incredible. And it was shortly after that that you and Marty approached me and said, you know, we need, you know, someone needs to record the history of this building. And so I'm just delighted, and I think it's, you know, high time that we put this announcement out here, folks. I am presently penning a history of the Reynolds Mansion, but it's not just going to be your typical history. This is going to be a book that not only tells the history of this incredible location that has become very near and dear to my dark soul, but it's also going to tell a little bit about some of the more unconventional beliefs held with this property, the ghosts and some of the history associated with the people who are still believed to be see here. I'm very glad to say also that there's an incredible talent who's going to be writing the foreword for this book for me, also Mr. Billy Sanders, who's sitting here with us right now. So I tell you, Billy, this is the first time we've said anything about this. It's going to be out later this year. And part of the running theme between you and I talking about how this book should go has been the whole Dark Shadows theme, you know?
Yeah, and you know, I have to tell you that, you know, when you first came to Reynolds Mansion back many, many, many months ago, I'd always known that one day there would be some type of literature produced on Reynolds Mansion. And after meeting you, I knew that you would be the person that I would have pen it.
Because really?
It was, you know, I needed somebody that could capture its history. But the thing about Reynolds Mansion that, unfortunately, you can't show over the air, is that it actually has a very sensitive aura to it. It has a it has a pull to it, and most people who stay here actually realize it and notice it. If you go to, you know, all of our reviews on TripAdvisor, most of the people mention that it's like stepping back in time, and that it has an amazing feel to it. And you know, that to get that, to capture that essence and put it into the written text, it takes a really good person to be able to do that. And with you, I think you capture that. So, you know, I think that this will be an interesting book. I think it will be one that many of the guests here will be able to have and hold and take a part of Reynolds Mansion with them.
And I'm sure that the events that transpire this evening will make it into the book just as well, because, you know, the book opens with, you know, this manuscript is underway. This isn't just, oh, we've decided we're going to do this. I mean, this is underway. I've kept it under wraps, though, because I thought no better time to announce that we're going to be putting together this book, you know, about, you know, not only a building that has become one of my favorite historical sites to visit, but also a place that is truly more rich with energy. Look, man, I've been to the Biltmore House. We live here in Asheville, North Carolina, the Graylin Gang, and, you know, I think we've all visited the Biltmore House quite a bit. It's the largest private home in America. It's more like a palace. It looks like something out of the French Quarter, you know. Well, not the Quarter, but I guess, you know, the French countryside. But I'll it probably wouldn't fit in the French Quarter.
Well, no, that house is designed off of three different French Renaissance chateaus.
Exactly. Yes, hence why it looks like a French chateau. It's very large. It's beautiful. But I tell you, I would say that at very least the energy here at Reynolds Mansion is comparable with that, if not more so, because it's more personable to me here. You know, you walk into the rooms, it's not so large that you feel like you get lost when you come in here. When you walk into Reynolds Mansion, whatever it is that is here, I couldn't put my finger on it any better than anyone else. Maybe Billy could, but I'll tell you this, whatever it is, you do become a part of it here.
And I'll definitely agree with everything you just said there, because like you said, I've been to the Biltmore Estate many times, and this is actually my first visit here to Reynolds Mansion, and I got the grand tour earlier before we started the broadcast, and let me tell you, this place is phenomenal.
Yeah, Matt was dragging his jaw along as we went from room to room, you know.
And you know, Micah, you brought up all the Dark Shadows vibes and memorabilia, but there's just memorabilia from like every era. You know, you've got old cameras sitting over here, and just so much awesome stuff all over this house.
It is remarkable. Billy, I tell you, if you could just learn how to decorate, I think you'd have things under control up here.
And for those of you who can't see what we're talking about, which is everyone, and for those of you not in the chat room who are going to be listening on the podcast, if you want to take a look around this magnificent house, go to thereynoldsmansion.com. It's the bed and breakfast website. It's got some history on the house, some pictures of the house, some pictures of the owners. So you can kind of get a second or third hand feel of what we're getting right now.
That's right. In fact, there's some remarkable photography there on that website. And indeed, you know, Billy, who was the photographer that took those photos?
Sherry Canella out of New York actually was the photographer for it. She actually mainly does a lot of wedding photography, but her and I went to college together at the University of Florida. So she actually came and did the photography for me. You know, one of the things that you mentioned the Biltmore that a lot of people don't realize is that Reynolds Mansion is actually 50 years older than Biltmore Estate.
Wow.
You know, Reynolds Mansion having been built in 1847, Biltmore was built in 1895. And, you know, Reynolds Mansion was built by slaves, 15 slaves to be exact, and we have their names. We know exactly who they were.
Oh, I'll need that for my notes.
And, you know, they dug Beaver Lake, which is a very famous lake here in Asheville, to get the clay for the bricks for it. So it has an amazing history, and so I think that's something that kind of shows when you see it.
We had a gentleman with the, and I'm already saying we, because, you know, again, you spend enough time here like I do, and you literally feel like you're drawn into it and you become a part of it. So there was a gentleman who came here a while back. And is he with the Asheville Historical Society or Preservation Society?
He's with the Preservation Society.
Yeah, the gentleman was outside with Billy, and he was talking about the bricks, you know, the energy in every single brick. And, of course, there are a lot of bricks here because, I mean, the entire foundation is made of brick. It's just incredible. It's more like a fortress, you know. It's more like a fortress here than it is a house. But you know what? You'd never feel that walking in. You'd have to collide with one of the walls, I think, to come to that stark realization.
Yeah, and just to totally one-up what Chris said, yeah, check out the website, but you should really just make the trip to Asheville and
well,
check this
well,
out.
Well, clearly. That's yeah, that's what
I mean,
everyone...
that should go without saying, but for those
and
of
then
the,
you can,
those
you can
of you
see
who
Micah's
didn't
book.
Catch the subtext there.
Well,
you're going to be doing book signings here. So.
I'll be doing book signings here, so you know, folks, you know what you want to do is you want to go to thereynoldsmansion.com. That way you can book your visit here in beautiful sunny land of the sky, Asheville, North Carolina. Come visit with Billy, and who knows, maybe it'll coincide with one of the book signings. Now, the book, we don't have an official release date. We're hoping to have it out by, you know, probably April. At the very latest. So when this does come about, you'll be hearing more about it on the program. And, of course, you know, we'll have Billy back on the program also with some more updates about this. And, indeed, especially if anything happens after tonight. It would be just our luck that we would be here doing a live broadcast. And darn it, somebody would come, you know, next week and say, you're not going to believe what happened to me when I was staying in Maggie's room. Now, folks are probably wondering, well, what's Maggie's room? I tell you what, the clock's caught us. We got to go pay the bills real quick. When we come back, though, I'm going to ask our host with the ghost a little bit about some of the better-known locations throughout the building, the stories associated with them, and whether there is indeed a particular spirit that is believed to linger here at Reynolds Mansion. Boy, you know, if I lived here, well, it would probably be dangerous. Because, you know, I'm a scientist type. But anyway, we'll talk more about that later. For tonight, I'm the Mouth of the South, your host here on the Gray Land Report, Micah Hanks. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, parents. Introducing the Communicizer. Go from boring old man speak.
Oh, you know, I'm here if you want to talk.
To 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
I love you, Dad.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Want to have some fun? Maybe get a little bit of insight. Get a lay of the land. Want to know what's really going on? Do what I do. Listen to Future Theater. It airs every Saturday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. On the Inception Radio Network.com. We'll see you there.
Of Appalachia. It's the Graylian Report with Micah Hanks. To join the program by phone, call 828-398-4886.
Skype users can reach the program by calling Skype ID Graylian Report. And now, from hundreds of miles beneath terra firma, in the depths of the hollow earth, live from the Graylian bunker, it's Micah Hanks.
Well, you're lighting the darkness, and although it's not quite as dark as it would normally be for us tonight, we normally broadcast from a bunker literally hundreds of miles beneath terra firma in the depths of the hollow earth. Tonight it is dark nonetheless. There are lingering, well, let me just say dark shadows here at this famous bed and breakfast and haunted mansion from which we are broadcasting to you live tonight. So I know that there are going to be thousands of people this week who are downloading this all over the place, all over the globe. You know, we've got thousands of people now in Canada. We've got people in the UK. We've got, several hundred listeners that I know of in Australia. We may be over 1,000 now down there in Australia as well. I keep track of actual downloads of this program on a weekly basis. We are growing and growing and growing. It's incredible. And so everybody who's downloaded this podcast is going to feel real bad that they weren't able to tune in and listen live, because we, as you're listening to this, we are documenting history tonight. We do not know what is going to happen. We do not know what literally could come walking through that door. I almost got a shiver down my spine just now. The lingering dark shadows of, I almost said Collinwood, of Reynolds Mansion.
Don't put down the people not listening live, though.
No, Micah, I'm not. I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying, gosh, you know,
we rely on those people.
What I'm saying, though, Matt, is that I wish that they could feel.
I heard what you were saying.
I wish that they could feel the thrill and the excitement that we feel right now. And I'll tell you, a lot of it, and this is what's so funny. Maybe I've got another quote here. Let me see if I've got another quote, because a lot of this thrill.
Getting out your Bartletts.
Getting out my Victoria Winners here. I'm looking for one that may have to do with. Oh yes, here we are. There's a moment before disaster strikes, a quiet moment, but there is a terror in the silence, for the rush of destruction is to follow in its wake. For one girl, this is such a moment, and her heart is numb with fear. Of course, they were talking there about Catherine Leigh Scott, who portrayed the character Maggie Evans on Dark Shadows. But there's a different kind of girl that's on my mind tonight, because part of the legend of Reynolds Mansion has to do with the apparition of a young girl who is purportedly seen here on the mansion. Now, I've never seen her myself. I've been here many times. I've even stayed in the room where she's believed to be seen most often. Billy, can you tell us a little bit about the apparition of the young girl seen here?
Sure. Her room is actually what's now called Guest Room Maggie, but you're actually referring to Annie Lee Reynolds. She was one of the 10 children of Daniel and Susan Reynolds, and actually she was the only Reynolds daughter that never married. She lived here her entire life, and there's not much written about her in the family history, and the historian has told us that that's probably because she probably suffered from some sort of depression or sickness, and it would have never been mentioned because it would have been seen as a negative on the family name.
Right.
But her room is on the third floor, and she was actually the prettiest of the Reynolds daughters. You know, yeah. Her pictures are around here, and when you see them, she actually was a very, very pretty girl. But, you know, there are many guests who see her full-bodied, and we have pictures of her that were taken, some in 1971, before we ever even owned Reynolds Mansion, of her on the staircases. Most of the time you see her in the staircases, but she, of course, shows in her room, too. And she's been known to lock the doors and move the furniture in her room. When we did the restorations on the house, on her room, we were able to determine what the color of her room was when she actually lived in it. And we returned it to those colors.
Oh, yeah, okay, which is that kind of violet.
It's kind of a lilac color. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, just about, probably about 3 weeks ago, we had some guests that stayed in there and came down and told me they couldn't get in their room. And she had piled all of their luggage against the door, so they couldn't get in. And
that story just gets me. You know,
well, you know, we had to go outside to the outer windows to get in to remove that. But, you know, I have noticed that not everybody sees Annie Lee. There are certain people who, for whatever reason, give off some sort of energy that kind of charges the environment, that I notice that some people will stay, and I'll deal with her for 2 or 3 weeks after they've left. So not everybody gives off this energy. And, you know, although I've never seen her, I do see the effects of her. And I've heard her. And our staff, you know, your friend Marty Marfia, who works here, has actually heard her and felt her presence. So she is here. She is a part of it. But there are many people here, not just her. It's just, you know, it was an osteopathic sanitarium in the 20s.
Yeah, let's get into the history a little bit about the place.
Well, you know, Reynolds Mansion remained in the Reynolds family all the way up into the 40s. But Mamie Reynolds and her husband Nathaniel, you know, Nathaniel was one of the sons of Daniel Reynolds, and Mamie originally was married to William Tazewell Reynolds, and they had one son by the name of Robert Rice Reynolds, who became the senator for North Carolina in the 30s. And your book is probably going to go into this a lot more in depth than I will here.
Oh, certainly.
But anyway, William died shortly after the senator was born, and so Mamie, at that point in time in history, women could not acquire land or estates, and so she married William's brother Nathaniel.
Was that how she got the place?
That is how,
because I heard
it.
she placed the winning bid at the public auction.
Well, she did. It went up to auction, but she married Nathaniel so that she could keep all of the land and all intact.
I see. Okay.
And her and Nathaniel lived here for the remainder of their lives. But about in the 1920s, they moved into downtown Asheville on Woodfin Street because he was the funeral home director for Morris Funeral Home.
Tazewell,
William and Nathaniel.
Okay.
And but anyway, they leased the house out to a Dr. Elizabeth Smith, who ran it as an osteopathic sanitarium, which was for tuberculosis patients for 4 years. And we have all of the medical records of all those patients that stayed here. So it's been pretty intact. But a lot of people were sent here. They believed that the mountains were good for people with tuberculosis for their lungs. There was no cure for tuberculosis back then.
Right.
And so shortly after Dr. Elizabeth Smith left it, it then went, Mamie moved right back into the house. And then in the 40s, Adeline Reynolds, who was Nathaniel Reynolds' illegitimate daughter, used it as a boarding house for unwed mothers. And so many, many times I've gotten emails from people who have said, I just found out, you know, my great-grandmother was born at Reynolds Mansion and it had been kept a secret. And,
oh, wow.
You know, a lot of that's because people were sent here because they were unwed. And so it's been a lot of things. But, you know, through all of its history, the Reynolds family has had some type of feeling for it. You know, just to mention, you know, Senator Robert Reynolds, who was the son of Mamie and Nathaniel's, of course, married Evelyn Washington McLean, who of course, the owner of the Hope Diamond. So a lot of people in Asheville know this is the house that the Hope Diamond was in.
That's right.
Young Mamie Reynolds, who was the senator and Evelyn's daughter, of course, teethed on the Hope Diamond here. So, you know,
Can you imagine that teething on the Hope Diamond?
So we have a rich history here. It's amazing to come into this house and hear all the stories of Reynolds Mansion.
You know, as part of the research for this book, you know, I've taken an interest in the Hope Diamond. And, of course, you know, Joseph Gregory, who was a descendant of Evelyn Walsh McLean and the McLeans, you know, he's been here. He's written books. I think Queen of Diamonds was the book about Evelyn the Elder. And, of course, his daughter, Evelyn Washington McLean, who there's an incredible portrait of here in the parlor adjacent to the library where we are right now. You know, I tell you again, you know, you'd have to come here to be able to really truly appreciate it. We could put pictures up, but, you know, that doesn't do it the justice. You need to be able to be there and see it. But Joseph has also recently written, his latest book is about the Hope Diamond. It's probably one of the more authoritative books that deals with it and has not only a lot of, you know, classic photographs and things dealing with the diamond and its history, but a lot of images from his personal records, too, as a family member of an individual who owned this thing. And let's just talk about the Hope Diamond for a second here. It's over, well, believed to be more than 1.1 billion years old. I think it's there's a unique combination chemically of, you know, I need to look this up, but I think it's nitrogen and it may be boride. Whatever it is, though, it causes the diamond, if it's exposed to or ultraviolet light, it causes it to glow.
To turn red.
Yes, it turns red and it will irradiate ultraviolet light. So it's really got a lot of unique physical properties as well. And in terms of being a piece of art, and it is, as I understand, the second most visited piece of art in the world, second only to what, Billy?
The Mona Lisa.
That's right. Isn't that incredible?
And, you know, you have to mention the curse. If you're going to mention the Hope Diamond, you got to mention the curse.
Well, go ahead. I'll let you do that. Tell us about the curse.
Well, it was rumored to have had a curse. And, you know, the first Evelyn, Walsh McLean, always said that she let the good and the bad just battle themselves out around her neck. But, you know, the McLean family had a lot of sadness, and a lot of it was believed to have been brought by the diamond. And young Mamie Reynolds, you know, really didn't want the diamond because of its past. And so Senator Robert Reynolds sold it to Harry Winston, the famous jeweler. And Harry Winston didn't even keep it. He donated it to the Smithsonian.
Where it resides today.
And, you know, the courier that delivered it to the Smithsonian was killed in an accident after dropping it off.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. Wow. You know, it just has such a past to it. And they believe that it had the curse because, you know, it was stolen. It was originally called the French Blue and had been stolen and cut down to the size that it is now. And so I think that's a lot of the reason they say that it has a curse.
You know, I've heard an earlier, in fact, this earlier legend comes from Joseph's book, so I'm sure you're familiar with it too, that the story was that there was an Indian god, it was a large statue representation of this Indian god, and that some explorer had come across the diamond and found it there, and it was embedded in the eye of this character. And he crawls up there, and he literally stole the Hope Diamond, this huge blue diamond, from the eye of this you know, statue of this god. And now I don't know if there's any truth at all to that, and I think that Joseph kind of disputes it or doubts it himself, but that's part of the legend. And, you know, even if it's not true, I have to say this, the legend of the diamond contributes to that mystique that is kept. And certainly there have been people, virtually everyone, who was the actress in the early 20th century that owned it? I think her last name was Woe. Do you remember?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's when I ended up.
Yeah, it's in the book. But anyway, she even talked about how she felt like it brought her tremendous bad luck. So everyone talked about this. And, of course, the young Evelyn Washington McLean, young wife of the senator, committed suicide. She was the present owner of the diamond. She committed suicide at age 25.
Yes.
Tragic story. And she is, of course, the young beauty whose, you know, picture appears in the parlor here at Reynolds Mansion. So there is indeed a long, sordid, and troubled history associated with the diamond. And that diamond stayed right here in this building. Now, again, folks, it's not here, all you diamond thieves out there. You're not going to come and you're not going to find Hope Diamond at Reynolds Mansion. It's at the Smithsonian in Washington. But it is a part of the history of this building. And I think that's just incredible. It's probably one of the most recognizable pieces of jewelry anywhere in the world. And that, to me, is just remarkable. Mm-hmm. Now, you do have a replica, though.
We do have a replica. You know, Joseph actually has an actual replica of it, of it that he does carry around. And when he does come for book signings here, he does bring it with him. You know, one of the things that Joseph did on his website is that he has a cologne, and he calls the Hope Diamond, he refers to it as a fable. And the reason why is because the Hope Diamond had so many different stories to it. And some of it we don't know if are true, or some of them are maybe just, you know, fables that people made up. And, you know, that's kind of like when I came to Reynolds Mansion, that, and when I talked to you about doing your book, that I really wanted, I didn't want a history book that just for people to just sit down like they were a textbook in school. But I wanted something that basically combined the truth and a little bit of maybe the mystery and the things we don't know, to try to merge them together. Because sometimes I think the past and the future does merge here, you know. And so I wanted that. I wanted that in a book. And, you know, you and I sat down one day and we really talked about that. And that was important to me to get that across. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, the Hope Diamond was called, the history of it called a fable. And now with your book coming out, you know, it being the same sort of dialogue and written word, and I'm really excited about that.
I'm excited too. I have to tell you, you know, there are going to be a lot of books coming out by yours truly in 2012. I've got too many good ideas. I got to get them all out before the world ends, right? You know, we've only got a year now, less than a year at this point, so we've got to get this all taken care of. But I'll tell you, of all the written projects I'll be undertaking in the next few months, one of them is going to be a UFO book that deals partially with artificial intelligence and the singularity and some of these far out science concepts we talk about here on the program. There are going to be other things too, but this book is going to be truly remarkable. It's going to be part mystery, part legend, and part, you know, factual hardline history. It's going to be really interesting, and it's going to be all about the Reynolds Mansion. So we'll be talking more about that throughout the program, and of course we'll be talking with Billy as long as he can stay. I know you've got duties that you must attend to here on the ground, so we won't keep you too long, but you know, you're welcome to stay as long as you can, because we've got plenty of stuff that we want to ask you about. And of course, also, before the clock catches us this hour, I do want to put it out there one more time that, folks, if you are listening and you have questions and you'd like to call in with comments, or you'd like to ask Billy Sanders a question yourself, you can reach us here on the program. Oh, Listen, I think maybe we can get that. I hear one of the clocks going in the background. I'm sure the listeners can probably hear that. I was hoping for a few of those throughout the evening. There are grandfather clocks and all kinds of relics. Listen to that. Well, hold on. I'm totally geeking out. I hope people can hear that. Anyway, it just lends itself to the authentic air here at our special remote location this evening for the Graylian Report. We'll go ahead and give out the call-in information. You know what? No. Let's just wait. Let's save that for the top of the hour. We'll put that information back out, and you can also visit www.graylianreport.com if you'd like to get information there as well. And, of course, we also want to recommend to people, please visit www.thereynoldsmansion. That's Reynolds, R-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S, thereynoldsmansion.com. If you'll go to that website, you can actually see a lot of good quality color images of the location where we are tonight. So before the clock catches us this hour, as opposed to putting out the call-in information, let's go ahead and just get a quick update right now. DrudgeReport.com has it linked front and center. It's all Mitt. New Hampshire results, Mitt 36%. Ron Paul follows second at 25%. John Huntsman, number three. The underdog has caught up, and he's coming into third place in New Hampshire. That's remarkable. John Huntsman's moved into 17%. Newt Gingrich following at fourth at 10. And, well, Mr. Rick Santorum, who we saw with a sudden remarkable surge in Iowa last week. Well,
he's tied with Newt at 10.
Tied with Newt at 10. Not quite so luxurious. He doesn't get any Hope Diamond, does he? That's all we have for the time being. When we come back next hour, we'll continue our conversation with innkeeper and, well, resident historian, Mr. Billy Sanders here of the Reynolds Mansion. We'll have a few more updates. I mean, you know, I hate to say it. As far as New Hampshire goes, Mitt's at 36. Ron Paul's close second at 25. Mitt's got this one. That's all we have to say.
Exactly.
That's it. Okay, more in the next hour. I'm Micah Hanks. It's Graylian Report. We'll be back right after this.
For most of us, chocolate is a guilty pleasure. Come on, admit it. You've got a sweet tooth just like the rest of us. But if I told you that eating chocolate was actually really good for your health and happiness, you'd probably say I was in La La Land. Hey, I wouldn't argue. Here's why. Every batch of the fine handcrafted chocolates at La La Land Organics Raw Chocolate is made from scratch, using organic, fair trade, and 100% natural ingredients. From the first bite, you'll know you're enjoying true quality, and the heart shape isn't the only way you'll feel the love. In fact, every chocolate from La La Land Organics is made by Melody Dawn Germain herself and according to her own special recipe. You'll be enjoying Ecuadorian heirloom cacao in every bite, along with a selection of wholesome herbs and superfood supplements that not only make La La Land Organics delicious, but really good for your health and happiness. They're all natural, gluten-free, and no dairy, soy, or refined sugars are included, which help them boost your energy, reduce stress, and promote longevity. And as if healthy organic chocolates didn't remove the guilt factor enough, Melody ships all her orders in reusable, food-grade, non-BPA containers designed to eliminate toxic residue and cut down on environmental waste. Be sure and visit Melody's website at www.mdgnewmedia.com. That website again is mdgnewmedia.com. Just click chocolate in the toolbar at the top of the page. You can't miss it. And while you're there, you can see a full list of the ingredients that will be sure to put a smile on your face. And I promise, it's guilt-free. La La Land Organics Raw Chocolate. Why wait? That website again is mdgnewmedia.com.
Carl Sagan once wrote that the questioning mind needs to be instilled with both skepticism and wonder, for the universe is a pretty big place, filled with undelved mysteries, sciences, and life that we've barely begun to comprehend. Every month, Intrepid Magazine brings you both the wondrous and the skeptical. Intrepid Magazine focuses on science, metaphysics, UFOs, politics, conspiracies, and unexplained phenomena, all offered up by Intrepid's cadre of writers and contributors, comprised of a host of seasoned authors, pundits, and recognized names in their fields. The universe is indeed a big place, and where other magazines leave off, Intrepid Mag is just beginning. Subscribe to Intrepid Magazine today at www.intrepidmag.com. That's www.intrepidmag.com.
unusual, weird news, anomalies, exopolitics. It's Beyond the Fringe, where conspiracy theory can become conspiracy fact. This is the Grillion Report with your host, Mike Evans.
Well, we're not from hundreds of miles beneath terra firma in the depths of the Hollow Earth, but we're from the dark lingering shadows of Reynolds' mansion. It's actually quite a comfy and cozy place. But whatever it is, here we are, and here I am, Micah Hanks, the mouth of the South. Welcome to the program. It is the Grailian Report, your weekly hub for the strange and unusual, our dark little corner of the web. And actually, we're broadcasting from a dark but very beautiful and illustrious corner of a haunted mansion bedded within the hills of the dark Appalachian Mountains here tonight. Broadcasting to you live, as always, every week from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. We're getting information from folks who are contacting us through our various mediums. Text messages are coming in right now. We've got someone who's just said they heard Mitt Romney won the primary. Well, apparently he is leading right now, but I think that a few of the other precincts have yet to report about that.
Yeah, only 34 of the precincts have reported so far, according to the AP.
So there will be more information coming in on that throughout the evening, but yes, it's looking like Mitt is indeed leading New Hampshire. And another person who texted us says, I just love you, Micah. Well, much love to all you listeners. Cosmic love to every one of you. I tell you, there is quite a cosmic energy here tonight with us in the studio, and I'm sure it's all coming from our host with the ghost, the illustrious new owner. And, of course, he's not really the new owner now, but you're the most recent owner in a chronological sense, and also, of course, the present owner and innkeeper here at Reynolds Mansion, Mr. Billy Sanders, for those of you just tuning in. Billy, again, thank you so much for having us here tonight and also for joining us on the program.
No, I appreciate you coming, and we welcome everybody here to Reynolds Mansion.
Indeed. There is so much to, and yes, to all of you, those of you who cannot be here with us now, I sincerely hope that you'll visit the website, www.thereynoldsmansion.com. Check it out. Look, they're rated number one here in Asheville. I don't mean to make this sound like a commercial, but I gotta brag on you for a minute. They are rated number one by TripAdvisor.com for bed and breakfasts here in the Asheville area. In fact, there's somebody calling right now. They're booking their rooms. The hotlines are now open. And I tell you, it is such a fascinating place. I've been to a lot of bed and breakfasts. I've done a lot of, you know, quote-unquote paranormal research over the years. I've done a lot of ghost hunting, to the point that I literally just became a complete skeptic about it and just dropped it several years ago. And then you walk into a place like this, and I'm like, goodness, the energy here. You know, you literally, my hair stands on end sometimes when I come in this place. And I'm not talking about like an electrostatic field that's interacting with the hair follicles on the back of my neck. No, I'm talking about there is an energy. It's not the kind of thing that you feel outwardly. It's the kind of thing that you feel from within. And that's what happens here at Reynolds Mansion. I'm just so glad that we're here and we're a part of it tonight. And that you, my dear listeners, whether you're listening to us live broadcasting on Tuesday night, the night of the New Hampshire primary, or if you've downloaded this and you're listening, you don't know what to expect and the anticipation is building throughout the night. You know, trust me, when we get to talking about the tunnels and the corridors that run underneath this property, yeah, it's going to get pretty mysterious and pretty interesting. And there's plenty of that that we do want to talk about on the program tonight. But I also want to direct your attention to something else. If you haven't been over to the website, www.grailianreport.com, that's G-R and then the word alien report, I want you to check out some unique fan art that was sent to us today. Right there front and center, we've got an image. This is Chris Hayes with the Hadal High Priestess. This was sent to us. Chris, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, it's a pretty accurate depiction of myself being courted by the Hadal High Priestess with our two illegitimate potato babies flanking us on either side. And I'm not sure if it's up at the Grailian Report yet, but we also were able to zoom in and get a close-up of one of the Hadal babies. And if you look at our Facebook page, the Grailian Report Facebook page, you can see my pride and joy smiling right at you.
That's right. If you don't follow us already, or I'm sorry, following is for Twitter people and liking is for Facebook people. If you're a Facebook person, be sure and like us on Facebook. We have a page. Just do a search for the Grailian Report. You'll find us there. Chris has both of these highly skilled artistic renderings appearing, and I'm sorry, Rosa was the artist. Can you tell us the name of the artist again?
Yes.
The first one.
It's Rosa. I'm not so good with
Rosa. He apologizes.
Middle and last name. So let me just go to the Grailian Report because I give her full photo credit.
All right. Well,
it's coming.
He's almost got it, folks. The clocks are ticking. Listen, can you hear him? You can probably actually hear the clock ticking.
Yeah.
Okay, and please, please, Rosa, if you're listening, excuse my pronunciation because I'm sick. Rosa Coletti Nevarez.
There you go. I think that was pretty good.
Did this wonderful painting of myself with the absolutely bodacious Hadal High Priestess.
I know. I was looking at it, and, you know, we had joked a while back about me, you know, getting married to a Hadal.
Well, not anymore. I'm getting married to her.
I started to say, I made the wrong choice. I'll admit it.
Yeah, it looks like you dumped the wrong girl. And now Chris is, but now Chris in this photograph, he looks a little concerned. Well, anyway, if you'd like to see this, I think it's truly a very nice, very well done rendition of Chris courting the Hadal High Priestess. You know, it actually looks like her. What I'm wondering is where Rosa actually saw a picture of the Hadal High Priestess. You know, I know that there are pictures of you floating around out there. That's what kind of weirds me out. Have we got a stalker in the bunker?
Well, I mean, I thought it was totally, you know, top secret location.
Of course it is.
You know, I mean,
unless somebody
I didn't do it.
Somebody been selling secrets?
Steve.
No.
Come on.
How do you think we stay in the black, Micah?
What?
Steve in accounting?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. Steve.
Well, I always, yeah. I mean, embezzlement's one thing, but selling company secrets?
Well, I mean, we just...
To Hadals?
We need to hang him for high treason.
I don't know.
Treason.
Well, we need more evidence. We need... Treason. But anyway, okay, that's a conversation that should take place probably in a law office, not here in the illustrious and beautiful historic Reynolds Mansion Bed and Breakfast. But do check it out. If you're online, go look at www.graylianreport.com. You can see this hilarious fan art. And if you are an artist and you'd like to submit some fan art to the program, you know, Mike Lupo also submitted some fan art to us, but we don't have that one up on the website. I've got to get that one up on the site, and we'll do that. For the time being, you can see it on our Facebook page. Just find the Graylian Report on Facebook and like us there, of course, and you can also enjoy renditions that fans send in of people like ourselves. No one's tried to draw me yet. I'm almost afraid of what that would end up looking like.
I don't think anyone can capture you, Micah.
I try to move too quick. You can't see what I actually look like. So
it's kind of like that. What was it, the unholy half-dead picture you took?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how he moves constantly.
Yeah. See, you can't even take a photograph of me because I won't stay still, and my mouth never stops moving. It's, you know, on the Micro Machines guy.
Well, I think I caught your essence at one Nitrograss show in Highlands. It's a picture of you playing guitar. I don't know if you've
seen it. Probably the one where I'm standing there going like this.
No, I don't know if you've even seen it. It's you playing guitar, and your body is perfectly still, and the shutter, my shutter speed was pretty quick. But you are perfectly still and in focus, but your head is nothing but a blur. Nothing but just a spinning, swirling mass of you can't see anything.
Billy, do you know any good exorcists?
I do not.
Hey, you got the Reverend right
here. That's right, we've got the Reverend Matt Oakley. Maybe Matt Oakley can help me with my holy problem.
And after what Santa did to him last week, well, maybe he'll be able to do it.
That's right, Santa had his way with Mr. Oakley here. But anyway, here at Reynolds Mansion, you know, there are a number of... Pardon me, intriguing secrets. And, you know, part of the mystery about this building and its history, you know, something that Billy and I have, you know, undertaken, I really can't take nearly as much credit as you can. I mean, you are also, in addition to being the innkeeper, Billy, you're almost like the historian in residence, you know. You have uncovered so much history about this place, and I see people from the Preservation Society and historians and visitors who knew members of the family and who lived here in Asheville for a long time. They'll come up here and talk to you, and they'll be like, "Wow, I didn't even know that." You know so many things. What are some of your favorite and intriguing mysteries about this place?
Well, there's a lot of them. And, you know, the more I stay here, the more I find out every day that's even so amazing that I find out. But, you know, probably one of the things that people love to hear about the most is, of course, the secret passages under the house. You know, they were built... primarily because they were hiding places. And the one that is out in the south yard, which enters from the first floor bedroom, was built to hide the silver during the Civil War. The Yankees never got this far south because of the mountains, and so it kind of kept them at bay. But the silver actually is still there. It was never removed, and because Reynolds Mansion only had one other previous owner, the Reynolds family pretty much still have a claim to the silver, so nobody's ever taken it out. And they're not so worried about getting it. They're more worried about anybody making profit off of it.
Right, exactly.
And so I've always said that if I could make a good living at Reynolds Mansion, when I go to turn the keys over to somebody else, I would really love to have it be a museum, because I would hate to see it go through the what it's gone through in its past. And then, of course, there is another one that is through the trap door through the guest kitchen that goes underneath the pool, and that has a hidden wine cellar.
Ah, that's what we were looking for, guys.
And they are brick-lined. I actually have only gone just a little bit into them. When we had the guy putting in the gas fireplaces, he had one of those little carbide lights on the top of his head, and I said, can you go down that pathway and tell me what you see at the end? And he actually said that it one of them opened up to about a 10 by 14 room, and it looked like the brick had started what they call spalding, where it's turning back to clay again. But he said you could see it. It was you could see the silver still. It was a little bit buried, but it is there. We do get a lot of treasure hunters that call and always want to go over the property with metal detectors. But, you know, I've never really done that because you open up a whole new door when you start allowing people to come on property and stuff. And the other thing that they've told us, if we would open up the old cistern to Reynolds Mansion, that, you know, back that would have been the original water supply to the house. That you people used to throw everything in there, and that you actually find amazing artifacts when you open up the old cistern. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to the Thomas Wolfe house, but you know, they opened up that old cistern, and there's amazing artifacts that they found there. But I do know where it is. I have the original plot of the house, and I just, you know, I'm just not ready for that yet. I think once you do that, it kind of opens up something else. And
yeah, give it a few years.
Give it a little while, and then when I'm ready, I'll do that.
And we know what kind of thing happens, you know, when there are energies associated with certain locations and events, and then all of a sudden these things open up and or are brought into an environment, and then stuff starts happening. You know, one of my favorite stories along those lines about Reynolds Mansion has to do with a painting that isn't from here. It's from Sherentine Plantation, right?
That is right.
Now that painting hangs in the dining room here at Reynolds Mansion, but again, you acquired that under some rather remarkable circumstances. I believe that there is a photograph on the website of that painting. I couldn't direct people directly to it right now, but I know it's on there. And it's a photograph. I'm sorry, I almost want to say a photograph. It's a painting, but it's so lucid and so clear in its detail. I mean, it almost looks like a photograph. It depicts a young Cajun girl, and indeed, there's not only a bit of history with this, but also you have a bit of a history yourself with the painting, Billy. Could you tell us a little bit about that and how you came to acquire it, and what kind of things have been associated with it since you obtained it?
Sure, that painting has actually been mine for about 15 years now, and if I ever left Reynolds Mansion, it'd probably be the one thing that went with me.
Yeah.
It has its own crate. We've moved so much, I acquired it in Florida when we were living there. I had went into an auction house, and they originally wanted $2,800 for it, and after talking with the gentleman, he told me, he says, I'll let you have it for $700. And
wow.
What I later found out is there was probably a good reason for that.
he was wanting to get rid of it.
It caused a lot of problems for us for quite a while. You know, and when I say problems, I mean it was, you know, cabinet doors in the kitchen and dining room where it used to hang over our fireplace would be open. We had clocks when watches would stop, doors would be opened, and I ended up having to contact someone who's kind of like a spiritualist that told me to just give it some time and that it should kind of clear up on its own. And it did, but every time we've ever moved, I've had to go through it again when we moved to Laguna Beach and then Chicago. And when we moved to Reynolds Mansion, I never could tell what was here and what was caused by her because there was so much going on, so you just didn't know.
Wow. You know, it's funny because you hear a lot of stories about, and when I arrived at that house and started living there, you wouldn't believe all the stuff that started happening. And here we have this circumstance where Billy, our owner, and of course our host tonight, he's also a guest host on the program here with us, so we're very glad to have you. He's literally already got a haunted artifact that he carries around with him, and he comes to Reynolds Mansion and says, you know, I couldn't tell you what the difference was between what was going on here and what was happening, you know, with regard to this painting that I bring around with me because it's just so active. And again, I think it has a lot to do with that energy that happens around here. But, you know, I tell you, we're about to go to a break. When we come back, I know that there's another story that involves a psychic intuitive with regard to this building. And you'd had one look at that painting. When we come back, I want to know another story, remarkable. Actually, there are two almost bone-chilling stories that have to do with psychic intuitives that relate to the Reynolds Mansion. When we come back after the break, we'll talk with Billy Sanders about those. It is the Graylian Report. I'm Micah Hanks.
Welcome back to Science Today. And the next caller is 9-year-old Philip.
Hi. Well, I know the molecular formula for glucose, C6H12O6. And the general formula for an alkene is CnH2n plus 2. But I can't seem to find any scientific formula for Bob.
Bob?
My goldfish.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. Brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
It's the Graylian Report with Micah Hanks. To join the program by phone, call 828-398-4886. Skype users can reach the program by calling Skype ID Graylian Report. And now, from hundreds of miles beneath terra firma, in the depths of the hollow earth, live from the Graylian Bunker, it's Micah Hanks.
Well, tonight we're breaking our tradition of broadcasting from the depths of the hollow earth. It's nice to get out of the dank, hollow depths of the bunker for one evening. We're actually broadcasting from Reynolds Mansion in beautiful, sunny western North Carolina, Asheville, land of the sky. That's where we are tonight, and we're glad to have all of you out there in Gradio Land tuning in and listening. Listen, folks, I want to drop a couple of hints real quick about things to come. Not only do we have later this evening my esteemed colleague and partner in crime, Mr. Scotty Roberts. Okay, he's the editor and publisher of Intrepid Magazine. I think we're going to have Scotty come on the program during the 10 o'clock hour for those of you on the East Coast here. Those of you listening elsewhere, it'll be the next hour. So you've got a little time to refill your beverages and get cozy, because Scotty's going to be coming on and talking about an incredible event. You thought this was an incredible event, and I tell you, it's very hard to top Reynolds Mansion. I don't know if it really can be done, but I'm working on it, because in October of 2012, you know, we had been talking for a long time here at the Graylian Report about how we wanted to throw an end to the world party. Well, I think we finally got this thing worked out. But like George Norrie said, we talked about it last week on the program, I don't think the world's really going to end, but we do want to try and celebrate the opportunity that we have with 2012, or with any time, and with great minds coming together and sharing in knowledge and insight. And that's why Scotty Roberts and I are putting together an incredible event that's going to be called the Paradigm Symposium. And the Paradigm Symposium, he'll be on here to talk about with us here in just a while. Scotty, of course, I'll get call-in information to you again so that you can contact us and you can join us here by phone. So that'll be at the top of the next hour. But for the time being, we are here at the Reynolds Mansion. I do want to point out one more thing. Next week on the program, we're also going to be joined, not in studio, live in studio, we'll be joined by phone by a fantastic guest, Mr. Nigel Kerner, who's going to be discussing a very revolutionary theory of alien interaction with humankind. He's got a new book out. We're going to be talking about that book, and we're going to be talking about his research. We may spend an entire two full hours with Nigel Kerner, so that you won't want to miss that here next week on the Graylian Report. But for the time being, coming back to the present, even though we do know that time can, well, maybe run parallel to itself, that's a theory I like to kind of toss around, as those bells and those chimes of those clocks loom ominously through the airwaves behind us there. Billy, you know, we left during the last segment, and I was talking about a couple of experiences that have happened with regard to Reynolds Mansion. These are personal experiences of your own that involve psychics. The first one was with a friend of yours, Jen, at a photograph that you showed her, and this was before you ever even came to live here. Could you tell us that story?
Sure. When we were living in Chicago, Illinois, our neighbor was, I mean, she was a, a psychic, basically. She would definitely meet with people and talk with them. And we were kind of skeptical a lot, you know, when we would talk to her. But when we had decided to start looking for a bed and breakfast, we really didn't tell anyone. We didn't tell our family. We didn't, because if it didn't work out, we didn't want anybody to be, you know, sad but when we came to Asheville, we had narrowed down our search to four places. Three of them were up and running, making a profit, and then of course Reynolds Mansion was in bad shape. And we had kind of made our decision on our flight back to Chicago of which one we were going to choose. But my partner Mike wanted to put Jen to a test, so he had me print photos of each of those bed and breakfasts and place them on just a sheet of paper with no names, nothing. And, you know, Reynolds Mansion was the worst looking one of them all. All the rest of them were really nice. And so we had Jen over for dinner, and we showed her, and he had her look at the pictures and say, you know, do you see us with any of these places here? And she immediately went to one of the bed and breakfasts and said, this one here, I don't really get a good feel from. She says, I don't know. It doesn't. It appears very dark and scary to me. And she went to the second one and said, this one here is not what it seems. And the third one, she said, this one here, I see political, very high up figures, people, very famous people. She said, but this one here, and she pointed to the Reynolds Mansion and said, this one has the most potential. She says, are you thinking about opening this up as a bed and breakfast? Just out of the blue, and our mouths just dropped open.
So she didn't just tell you, okay, are you going to buy this?
No, she said, are you thinking about turning this into a bed and breakfast?
Wow.
And, you know, she goes, there is a spirit here on the third floor, but it is a good one. And, you know, it's amazing that there was no way she could have known anything about that. And, you know, to look at the pictures, it was the worst one to have looked at because it was in bad shape. I mean, you've seen pictures mm-hmm. of Reynolds Mansion, what it looked like. And it's amazing that she was able to pick up on that. So, that you know, that kind of tells you it was meant to be.
It's incredible. You know, we talk a lot on this program about serendipity and, more importantly, synchronicity. You know, I'm kind of one of those people who will tell you I don't believe that there are such things as coincidences. You know, I think that everything, there is some, however chaotic and strange it may seem, I think that there is some underlying reason for all things that happen. Some people call that cruel fate because they've had, you know, negative experiences along those lines. But for me, I find that in life, I go along, I accept the ill and the misfortune as it comes. But for the most part, I also find, you know, if anything, a kind of grace and beauty that exists in the understanding that maybe there is some sort of meaning behind all this. You know, that's another reason why Scotty Roberts and I were talking about this paradigm symposium, you know, pulling together all the disparate ends, you know, of everything out there, you know, pulling together all the intangibles, all the elements of our existence, all the mundane things even that we go through everyday life and kind of tune out and ignore, you know, things that have become so commonplace to us that we take for granted. You know, that probably really we should all cherish more, you know, whether that be time with our families, you know, being able to sit down and have a hot meal, being able to sit together in a library of a haunted mansion, you know, with the shredded remnants of what are left of my voice. You know, I've still been getting over this cold. Our producer Chris here has also been having a problem with this, and, you know, hopefully people, it's not wearing too badly on their ears. But I'm just thankful I have a voice tonight. And when you think about things along those lines, and you look at the events as they've played out in your life, you know, I bet you'll see that you got a lot to be thankful for. And Billy, I know you feel that way, you know, coming into ownership of a place like this and seeing how those little things fell together like that. I mean, it truly is. It goes beyond serendipity. It's remarkable. It's almost miraculous.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I remember when we first opened, Western North Carolina Magazine did an article on us. And I remember the writer said, you know, I notice I don't see any portraits of you in here. And I told him, I said, well, you know, I said, you're only a caretaker of a place like this for a very, very short time. And you do your best. And one day I'll turn the keys over to somebody else. And maybe at that time I will have done enough to have a portrait of myself within its
house. Earn your place on the wall.
You know, and I walk around in it all the time and say, I cannot believe I live here. Because it's a massive house. It's a big one.
It's remarkable. I'm just so, you know, blessed to be your guest tonight, as are all of you out there listening. You know, you're able to spend a little evening of intrigue with us, even if it's, you know, over the airways. That's utilizing the brilliance and the modern, you know, wonder and the mystery that is technology and, of course, the internet. People are able
the
to...
Internets.
The internets. People are able to Googles. Be right here with us, you know. But that is so neat to me, you know. It's almost like we've got a bunch of people who, you know, can be with us here in spirit. But those aren't the only people who are here with us in spirit. In fact, some people prefer entirely bodiless spirit presence. And that was another of the instances that you talked about with regard to a psychic talking to you about things. And before we talk about that real quick, I do want to go back and put out the telephone information for people who might like to call into the program tonight. Because if you're listening and you've got a question, well, we've gotten a few text messages from people. And, of course, the email is always open, info@graylianreport.com, if you'd like to contact us directly. But if you're interested in calling in and asking a question about what you're hearing about on the program, or if you just got a question for Billy Sanders, the owner, you can reach us quite simply. The telephone line to do so is 828-398-4886. Again, that number, 828-398-4886. Skype users can reach us at Skype ID Graylian Report. You can also send us a text message anytime, and that number is 828-367-7201. So we'll look forward to hearing from you if you'd like to contact us about what you're hearing tonight on the program. But with that said, Billy, I wanted to ask you again, you know, this story. There was an individual who came here. I guess it's okay to say her name, right?
Absolutely.
This woman's name was Christy Robinette, and she was a psychic who told a remarkable story. And if I remember correctly, it took place in that bedroom on the other side
of
that wall.
First floor bedroom, yeah. You know, Christy Robinette actually is a very talented individual and is a spiritualist medium in her own right, and certainly has a website. But we've had two paranormal investigations done on Reynolds Mansion, and she was involved with the first one. But when she first came into the house, of course, she immediately went up to Annie Lee's room and came down and asked me, did I have problems with the room? And I told her what I thought. And, you know, she's the one who told me, she says, well, she's sitting right there in the chair. I'm like, you see her? She goes, oh, yeah, I see her. And she says, she's actually not aware of me. She says, I have a feeling that she's probably what they call an imprint. She also came down. I was somewhere in the house, and she located me and said that on the first floor bedroom, there was a young girl that was telling her that she had been embalmed here. Now, her telling me that, I just let her talk, and I really didn't say anything to her. I told her, I said, really? And she went on about her way. But when she left, my partner Mike says, did you hear what she told you? And I said, yeah, I heard. And he says, why didn't you say something? You know about all of that. But what I knew and what I do know is that Nathaniel Reynolds, you know, was the funeral home director on Woodfin Street. And that in itself doesn't really mean anything. But back when we did the restoration, Holly Hedrick of Channel 13 News did, a little spot on the house. And when she was here, it aired. And a gentleman who is actually the great-grandson of William Tazewell Reynolds, he's 80 years old. He still lives here in Asheville. And he called me and told me that he had saw the program on Reynolds Mansion. And he said, you know, I can remember coming to that house when I was a young boy and seeing the senator sitting out on the porch smoking a cigar and drinking a bottle of whiskey and wow, plotting what he was going to do in Washington. And, you know, when he was telling me that, I was like, oh, gosh, what a memory to have. Yeah. But and while I had him on the phone, I said, can I ask you a question? And because he mentioned that, he says, you know, my great-grandfather used to run the funeral home with Uncle Gus. That's what they called Nathaniel. And so I asked him, I told him what the medium had saw about that there was a young girl that had been bombed here, and had he ever known of that ever having been done here? And he says, oh, hell, he says, that actually did happen. They used to do that out there in the garage, which are now the two cottages to Reynolds Mansion.
Well, how lovely. So, that's where you want to stay when you come here, right?
So, back then they really didn't have the laws that they have in place. And I'm sure that, you know, it's kind of like bringing your work home with you. You know,
wow.
For Nathaniel. But it let me know that actually had occurred on site. So.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. You know, I mean, because it's one thing if somebody, you know, purporting to have, you know, psychic abilities comes in and says, you know, well, I'm seeing a ghost, or I'm in a room right now and I'm getting touched. I've had those kind of experiences a dime a dozen. And then you have someone who comes in and goes, hey, you know, the experience that we've had here, or that I'm having here right now, I'm picking up on something, and this person's telling me that they've been embalmed. Well, now, how could that have happened? And, you know, of course, that's entirely accurate with regard to this location. That's really interesting. Now, I mean, is there any way that she could have known that information about the building?
No, that's not really anywhere for her to have found out. And even if she had, what she was saying to me and how detailed she was about it, it was just kind of strange that, you know, that she would have mentioned that. You know, and yeah. The other thing, Micah, that I have to say to people is because, you know, sometimes you tell these stories and people sometimes think, oh, well, those are just instances that people just haven't. But, you know, because we're bed and breakfast, I see people come through the doors all the time. And I cannot tell you how many of the guests, you know, just when I first opened, I remember a couple that stayed here a week and never said anything to me until the day they were leaving. And she said to me, she said, can I ask you a question? And I said, sure. And she said, do you have any problems here? And I said, what kind of problems? And she says, well, I'm very sensitive to the paranormal. And she says, I felt it immediately when I checked in. She goes, it's actually a very healing feeling, which is an interesting word to choose because of it having been an osteopathic sanitarium, which would have been very hospital-like.
I never would have made that connection, yeah.
And she said, you're very, very fortunate. And I said, well, they believe that it's Annie Lee Reynolds. And she said, no, it's more than one. And, you know, she's one of many that have come through my doors. People who have no association with one another. People who have taken pictures and caught stuff on, you know, on film, especially on the staircases. And you keep glancing out the door, so you're starting to make me worry.
Look out there. Do you see that? Well, you know, I'm thinking.
Did you see some dark shadows moving?
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what I did see, though. I did see something, actually. Full disclosure here. Reynolds Mountain looms in the distance, and I saw the headlights of a car that kind of came right across the top of where the window in the parlor is there. And I saw that, and I'm like, what am I seeing? Because I, throughout the evening, kept seeing a light out of the left corner of my eye, and I keep glancing into the parlor to see what I'm looking at, and that's what it was. I finally saw this time the headlights came right on by there. So no orbs or mists or specters or haunts. Just my eyes playing tricks on me.
It happens
when everyone else.
It happens when you least expect it. That's when it happens.
Well, I'm hoping eventually that, you know, I'm going to run into Annie Lee or someone.
Well, you know, you're sitting here asking me all these questions. Well, let's talk about the time you first went into the room on the third floor and then what a guest that had no contact with you whatsoever.
Now,
let's talk about that.
I'll tell you, that's a good one, yeah. And we've got enough time to do it right now, too. Okay, I don't. I'm not the kind of person who professes to usually have experiences that are, you know, ghostly in nature. I worked for a number of years with a fellow by the name of Joshua Warren. You know, and Josh, I'm sure the listeners of this program know Joshua Warren well. And, you know, Joshua and I, we went to a lot of locations all over the country, you know, studying, I guess, what we would call parapsychology. Now, I, you know, have grown, you know, I wouldn't say that Josh and I have grown apart per se, but, you know, I guess I've just become more of a curmudgeon in my old age, and becoming the curmudgeon that I am now. I'm not dismissive, I'm not a cynic, but I am highly skeptical, because I'm just going to tell you, I mean, I've experienced so many situations where the kinds of things that people would chalk up to being paranormal activity really was quite natural, and I could, you know, see through the lines, so to speak, and always be able to detail, you know, exactly what was going on. And if I couldn't detail what was going on in an environment, sure, every now and then you'll encounter genuine anomalies, but in those instances I still see that people will kind of presuppose things like, oh, well, then there may be a ghost moving through that room, and that mist is what's causing, or that electromagnetic fog that's moving through that room, that transient field, perhaps that's what's causing this to happen or that to happen. For me, it was more a situation where, you know, I felt like a lot of people who go into haunted environments are leaping to conclusions to substantiate things that they cannot explain to begin with. And if they can't substantiate what they're talking about and what they're experiencing by rational means, they'll make up something wild and crazy, which very well may be the case. Granted, if there's a ghost that's causing things, okay, in a house like this, far be it for me to say that that is not possible and that that's not what's happening. But without a way to prove that scientifically, you know, it becomes difficult for us to say, well, it's just a ghost, and therefore I can take my EMF detector, my handy dandy ghost meter, and I can go in here and I can hunt ghosts like, you know, Egon, Ray, and Peter and the guys, you know. So the thing is for me,
don't
is
don't forget Winston.
Winston, right. That's right. Yeah, Winston. Yeah, yeah. The unsung hero of the Ghostbusters. But anyway, and that's the thing, is that so much of this stuff stems from the movies. And what we see in films like Ghostbusters, keep in mind that those were dark comedies. They were, you know, weren't even really dark, but I mean, you know, they dealt with ghosts. So anyway, now for me, having had these kind of experiences for years and years, when I would go into an area that was purportedly haunted, I stopped taking meters. I know a lot of people are probably out there cringing, but I'm telling you, I would justify this by saying simply that, you know, an electromagnetic field detector is calibrated to be able to detect often unnatural, okay, manufactured sources of electromagnetism produced in the environment, like a television or computer monitor, or a microwave oven, or a fluorescent light bulb, something like that. They're not calibrated to be able to detect energies given off by human bodies. Some of them, like the Trifield Natural EM meter, are. But I always say this, in the absence of a physical body, okay, which is producing, you know, by virtue of blood and organs, a bioelectric field, okay, a biofield that is produced by a body, what in the absence of that physical body would still produce an energy that would be measurable by one of these devices? It could be a soul. Sure, it absolutely could be. But the thing is that if we can't prove that scientifically and we don't know for certain if a bodiless soul produces an EM field, how can we verify our, you know, or justify our theories about ghosts based on something that we don't have knowledge of in totality? In other words, we're leaping to a kind of philosophical conclusion when there's not evidence to back that up, and then we're using that as the evidence for why ghost hunting and meters and things like that work. So I said, okay, enough of that. Put down the meters, put down the thermometers, put down everything. The only thing I'll carry with me, there are two things, and I have them here, right here with me right now. I carry a notepad and a pen, and I carry a voice recorder when I go into locations like this. We've already talked about EVP and why I carry a voice recorder. Because, indeed, there may be, I can't prove this, but I could tell you that there seems to be an electromagnetic component, okay? But I'm not going to waste my time with meters. I'm far more interested when these voices appear on these little recorders and things like this. I've experienced that many times myself and heard incredible things. And then aside from all that, aside from any implementation or instrumentation or anything else, I take my five senses and I go into a room and I just try and feel things. I listen, I smell the air, you know? I look around, I touch things when I'm allowed to, you know, in some places you can't touch things, you know, it's a museum. Fortunately, that's not the case here. So my first time to Reynolds Mansion, Billy and Marty Marfia, our good friend who also is employed here, they take me up to the third floor. And we go to the end of the hallway, and these are the last two rooms that I was shown in the building. One on the left is called Vera, and the one on the right is called Inez, right?
That's correct.
Okay. We kind of glance in Inez. I'm not seeing a whole lot. We go in Vera. It's fine. It's a cute little cozy room. There's a little bathroom in there, and the bathroom's very dark in Vera. There aren't any windows. There is a little nightlight, I guess, over there on the side. So I kind of go in there, and there's this old antique clawfoot tub immediately to your right as you walk into that bathroom there in Vera. So I look down into that tub. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I did not see a ghost in that tub. I didn't see anything. But it's more like I felt this impression came to me. And I'll just tell you, it's not like I just imagined, oh, maybe there's something here. I had this vivid image come to my mind of a man. And he had like white hair, you know, in patches protruding around the side of his head. You know, I could see the, I think they're called lentiginous freckles, I guess, you know, on his scalp, you know, the liver spots. And on his arms, and he was lying in that tub. You know, this guy looked gaunt and pale and sick, and I'm just, you know, thinking, and this is, again, not something I'm seeing physically, but something that just literally just kind of, it like forces itself into my mind's eye, and I'm thinking, ugh. And I backed out of that bathroom, and I just didn't feel comfortable. It was like, that's a little creepy. That's the only time I've ever felt creepy in this building. I didn't say anything about it to you, Billy. I didn't say anything about it to Marty or anybody else. Okay. Kept that to myself, stayed on that floor, stayed in Maggie's room, which is on the same floor right down the hall, didn't sleep well, not because the beds aren't comfortable. The beds are incredibly comfortable in this house, but, you know, the entire night I'm just, you know, amped up with anticipation. Is she going to show up? Am I going to see a ghost? Is this going to be it? Because I don't care how skeptical you are. You come to a place like this and you start thinking this is where it's going to happen. I still think that. If I'm ever going to see a ghost, this is where it's going to be. Let's just hope it happens, you know, during this time while I'm writing this book. So, but anyway, months after the fact, Billy, you and I were sitting here in the library, and another of the employees, Jess, comes in, and she tells us, now I'd like to turn it over to you at this point. She came in and told us about something she saw in that room. What did she see?
Yeah, you know, Jess is one of the employees here, and she was actually in there cleaning the room, and in the room is a bureau that has a mirror over the bureau there, and she was actually dusting, and as she looked into the mirror reflected towards the bathroom, which you were referring to, and she saw a man, an elderly man with white hair, standing watching her. And she actually thought that it was a guest, and she turned to say, "Can I help you?" And when she turned, of course, there was no one there, but she saw him in detail, and it frightened her. And, you know, she made Marty go up there with her because she didn't want to be there long. But, you know, just before that, we had a guest that came to breakfast that was staying in Vera that said there was a man in her room. And she says he was an elderly man, and she described him exactly like Jess. And, you know, that's before you had ever told me about, you know, what you had felt in there.
Absolutely. I kept that to myself.
And so, you know, it's interesting what happens. And, you know, and people see all sorts of things, and it is what it is. You know, and if whether you believe it or not, it's really interesting conversation at breakfast.
It certainly is. And the guests who come here, you know, I've had breakfast here at Reynolds Mansion with some of the guests before. And, you know, they are so, if they're not into ghosts, they're taken with the building in general. But there's some really interesting story swapping that goes on there at breakfast. Have you ever had somebody come down to breakfast and just say, "You won't believe what happened to me last night"?
All the time.
Really?
That is all the time. You know, whether it's from, you know, them seeing a shadow passing on the wall. In fact, I think the room you're probably staying in tonight, you're probably, that's the room where the shadow was seen passing. You know, a lady thought that it was someone on the porches, but it wasn't. It was a shadow that she saw of a lady walking.
That's which room is that, Claudette?
That is guest room Claudette. You know, whether it's people in guest room Glenda that, you know, have the door lock and open on them when they're in there and they're asleep. You know, we've had guest room Claudette is the room that an entire family was in there, and all the doors flung open during the night, woke them everyone up.
Wow.
You know, it's one of those things that happens. But, you know, I'll tell you, one of the interesting things that, you know, I have to say that lets me know that it's actually a good thing is, you know, Rhett and Scarlet are the resident bulldogs here.
That's right. We haven't talked about Rhett and Scarlet
they're
yet.
They're the pride of Reynolds Mansion. But, they actually get more guests to come to see them than anything. So, you know, we live on the third floor, and when Rhett and Scarlet have to be let out, they have to turn and they face Annie Lee's room, and I've seen them so many times. Both of them will stop and raise their head and look up in that room and start wagging their tails, and I know it's because they see something. And, you know, Scarlet will take her toys and go sit in there, just like she does with guests, bring her toys so that they play with her. And I know that if it was something bad, if it wasn't good, I think they would react very, very differently. And I think they have a keener sense than I do.
And I think that you probably have at least to my own satisfaction, proven that with Scarlet and Rhett. You know, you played a little trick on them a while ago, but now you don't want to talk about it on the air, I understand.
I don't mind talking about it. You know, I wanted to see, you know, just exactly how I could do with them and how they were when they were here by themselves. But I actually had went to dinner one night, and there was no one in the house, and I had left them out so that they could roam the house. And I actually got to enter the house secretly without them knowing it. And as I slowly began to make my way through the house, they could hear me, and they started growling, a low growl. And as I would walk closer, I noticed they ran up the first flight of stairs to the second floor, and then they started barking and growling again. And I took my coat and put it over my head and kind of started up the stairs, and I could hear them running up the next flight of stairs. And as they they kept working their way back to the far end of the house, and as I got closer, they got more intense with their growling and barking, and I think I frightened Scarlett so bad she wet the floor. So, you know, she'd be embarrassed me telling you that.
Bless her heart. I hear Scarlett's rather dainty.
She's very dainty. She thinks she's as beautiful as her namesake.
That's right. You know, and that's another remarkable thing. I mentioned the painting here of Barnabas Collins on the wall. You know, there are a lot of paintings. Scarlett O'Hara of Gone with the Wind fame, well, Vivian Leigh, portraying Scarlett, is seen throughout the mansion as well. There are a lot of other paintings, a lot of all kinds of interesting things throughout the mansion. I mean, really, when we come back after this break, I think we'll touch on a few of those too, because there's really so much to talk about and so much to see here. I mean, you'd really have to come visit to be able to understand it all and why I'm so captivated with it. You know, Billy's lucky enough to be able to live here. And perhaps from time to time, we'll be lucky enough to do a remote broadcast from this location. We are the Graylians, your weekly gang of goons from the darkest corner of the web. Every Tuesday evening from 8 to 11 p.m., we're keeping you company here. And I'm Micah Hanks. We'll be back right after this.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
This is the sound of a flat-screen television hurled off a building. Now the new bike your kid wants. These are the things you could have, all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Use Energy Star light bulbs and appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
It's the Graylian Report with Micah Hanks. To join the program by phone, call 828-398-4886. Skype users can reach the program by calling Skype ID Graylian Report. And now, from hundreds of miles beneath terra firma, in the depths of the hollow earth, live from the Graylian Bunker, it's Micah Hanks.
Keeping you company every Tuesday night from 8 to 11 p.m. Real quick, we've got some election updates from the great state of New Hampshire, Chris.
All right, with 62% of the precincts reporting via the AP, the Associated Press, we've got Mitt Romney with 37.5% of the poll, or of the vote, Ron Paul with 23.7% of the vote, and John Huntsman with an even 17% of the vote.
That's incredible.
Not surprisingly, this, however, is surprising. Newt Gingrich has dropped below Rick Santorum for a fifth place showing right now.
Now, I know that we've still got South Carolina to worry about, but, you know, is Newt Gingrich really going to be a flash in the pan? I mean, I'm amazed that John Huntsman, who I think has some great ideas, has managed to pull into. Is he still right now? You said tied.
He's solid third.
Solid
place
third now.
With 17% even. Did he even make a showing in Iowa? Really?
You know, hardly. You know, I think he may have had 1%, but, you know, this is pretty substantial.
And yet Rick Santorum, who was, you know, tied for number one, basically, you know, a difference of 8 votes in Iowa, is now in fourth place, and Ron Paul is really very strong.
Still
in second
doing well.
Place.
You know,
yeah,
I don't.
You know what I'll say?
I see it being a dogfight the next few states between Ron Paul and Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly. Definitely. And I tell you, if Gingrich really wants to pull this out, he's going to have to get more backers doing smear documentaries against his opponents because, man.
The Mr. Nice Guy thing didn't work out, huh? Well, that's a shame. You know, okay, well, as we're finishing up this hour, next hour we're supposed to have Scotty Roberts calling in, and we'll talk a few minutes about the Paradigm Symposium. But, you know, I also want to touch on something else next hour, which has to do with something Ron Paul has said. You know, Ron Paul's always been an item of interest on this program, and Ron Paul's apparently telling people right now, to everyone but Mitt Romney at least, drop out. Just drop out. This is between Mitt and me now. So
he also says free bananas.
Yeah, well, yeah, oh, okay, yeah. I think you just caught a bad lip reading. So anyway, well, before the clock catches us, you know, Billy, I want to thank you again because I know that morning comes earlier for you than it does for the Graylian gang. So I appreciate you joining us for this much of the program and talking about things. You know, is there anything else that you'd like to share with the listeners while we've got the microphone? In fact, I'm going to turn it entirely over to you here for the final minute or so.
You know, really, in my closing here, I appreciate you coming here and giving me the time to tell you a little bit about Reynolds Mansion and its history. And, you know, whether you believe in any of this we've talked about tonight, it's something to be able to be a caretaker of something this old and step back and be able to touch the past and see some of the things that are here that are on display, that are part of the house and some of it not part of the house. And it all becomes almost very museum-like and kind of surreal sometimes to walk around here and look at all this stuff and hear about it and touch it and see it. And, I think when you come here, I tell people when I talk to them on the phone making reservations that, you know, you have to see it. I can't tell you, and the pictures don't do it justice. So to see it in person is an amazing thing to be able to see it. And, it's one of those things that, you know, my life, we've kind of tied in dark shadows to this program tonight. But, you know, when I was a young child, I used to run home from school so that I could watch the 3:30 showing of Dark Shadows. And my mother always said, this is going to ruin you. You're going to have nightmares. And, you know, I never realized that, you know, young Victoria Winter saying that she was going to this house high atop Widow's Hill where her past would be linked with her future, that, you know, how that would parallel my own life. And that, you know, one day I would be sitting on a hill on the top of Reynolds Mansion and Reynolds Mountain, and that, you know, that these people that, you know, built this house and all these names that we've talked about and all this history are now my future. And you know, to hear me, you know, a lot of guests at breakfast say, you know, Billy, you need to have past life regression done, because to hear you talk about the Reynolds family, it's like you've lived it. And so, you know, I think about that sometimes. And it's interesting when this book comes out that I'm interested to see how parallel my life and the Reynolds family and the Reynolds Mansion tie together. It's kind of an amazing thing.
Maybe that'll put it in perspective. I just hope that you never undergo, you know, past life regression and it turns out that you were a vampire.
No.
In a past life. Barnabas Collins, indeed. You know, it wouldn't surprise me, but no, you're far too, warm and accepting of people who come here. And of course, you know, you're a real Southern gentleman, Billy. We appreciate you for your hospitality and for, more importantly, joining us tonight here on the Graylian Report.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yes. And we'll do it again. You know, maybe when the book comes out, we can do this. Of course, the program's not over. We've got another hour, folks, but Billy's going to have to depart from us for the time being. It's going to be back to the usual wild and weirdness that you tune in for on a weekly basis. I do want to touch real briefly on why Ron Paul's saying everybody but Mitt just drop out. Get out of my hair. We'll touch on that and weird news from around the world when we come back here on the Graylian Report. I'm the Mouth of the South, Micah Hanks. Stay tuned.
Hey guys, Jamie Havoc in here for UFO Mag. Do you want to receive the best writing there is in ufology, the best writers, editors, and flat out the best magazine that ufology can offer? If so, I highly recommend UFO Magazine. You can check it out at ufomag.com. And if you mention that you heard this on radio, you can get 6 issues for $19.95. Check it out, ufomag.com. Don't miss out. And keep up to date on the hottest topics in ufology. For UFO Mag, this is Jamie Havkin.
All right, guys, I know you've been putting it off. Your thirst for knowledge is incredible, insatiable, but your wallet says otherwise. So you haven't been able to subscribe to all those classy magazines out there bringing you to the edges of the fringe just like you and I do every week here on the Graylian Report. Well, good news for you. You can now subscribe to Intrepid Magazine for an entire year and just pay $19.95. Really? That's it? It's no joke. $19.95 will get you an entire year of incredible insight from authors like Nick Redfern, Scotty Roberts, and of course yours truly. It's Intrepid Magazine, boldly going. Visit www.intrepidmag.com today and feel your mind expanding tomorrow.
Conspiracy fact. This is the Graylian Report with your host, Mike Evans.
And welcome to the third and final hour of tonight's special broadcast, broadcasting to you live from a haunted mansion in Western North Carolina. I'm Mike Hanks, the mouth of the South, and it is the Graylian Report. I'm joined in studio, as always. Well, it's our makeshift studio. I guess we know who's in studio with us now. How professional of you, producer.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
No, you don't have to apologize. Just never do it again. And, of course, we've got Mr. Matt Oakley joining us here, as always. Our engineer, welcome back, the prodigal son.
Yeah, look, your prodigal son is going to be the new godfather of my potato baby. You can't be it anymore.
We're about to be joined by Scotty Roberts, by the way, of Intrepid Magazine.
I'm honored.
That's right, Scotty Roberts. He's not just the editor, he's the publisher of Intrepid Magazine. He's going to be joining us here in just a second to talk about a special event that's going to be going on this year in 2012. But first, I do want to thank again our dear friend, Mr. Billy Sanders, for joining us here on the program tonight and for telling us all about the fantastic history of his illustrious home, the Reynolds Mansion. It's a fantastic place to visit. And those of you who are just tuning in, if you missed that, it'll be on the podcast later this week. But you can also check it out right now on the web at TheReynoldsMansion.com. Check out TheReynoldsMansion.com. That's where all that information about our secret location for the evening is for tonight. And I'll tell you, you know, maybe we'll do it again in the future, not just from here. Maybe we'll do more remote broadcasts. You know, we've had invitations from folks up in Chicago and all different other kinds of locations. The four corners of the globe, as they say. So we're always glad to bring our operation where we can, if we can. Without further ado, I believe we're joined now by phone by none other than the legendary man himself, Dr. Scotty Roberts. Scotty, how are you tonight?
Hey, Mike, I'm doing well. Don't throw around that doctor title too much. I might get in trouble.
That's right. Malpractice. Malpractice.
That's right.
Oh, gosh. So how are you doing?
I don't have any malpractice insurance. Yeah, so you say you got a cold. I'll tell you how to take care of that.
Oh, yeah.
Some scotch.
Hey, that sounds like just what the doctor ordered
to
me.
That is my favorite remedy.
There it is.
That's a fantastic remedy. Well, Scotty, let me ask you real quick before we get to the meat of the conversation. Have you been following New Hampshire at all tonight?
I have, just a little bit. And, you know, it looks like Mitt Romney, what was he at, about 36%, and then Ron Paul following at like 25 or 24.
Uh-huh.
And then Newt Gingrich, I know, is like way down there.
Mm-hmm.
He's like fourth in place.
Yeah.
And I have a little bit of a concern about what's going to happen once the Republicans choose their nominee. I think it's all important, and now this is my political opinion, does not necessarily reflect the opinions of your radio station, but it should, is that Obama needs to be out of office. And Mitt Romney, if he ends up being the Republican candidate running against Obama, it is my firm opinion that if you want Obama out of office, you're going to have to go behind the guy that's running against him, or you're going to divide that vote up, and Obama's going to end up being in the office again by default, and he'll claim a mandate.
That's right.
So Mitt Romney is not my favorite candidate. He does not stand for everything I stand for, but I tell you what, if he ends up being the Republican candidate, I'm going to have to vote for him. because my write-in or my vote for an independent candidate will more likely than not end up with getting Obama back into office. And that I cannot abide. I can abide Mitt Romney a lot better than I can abide Obama.
And that's actually something Micah and I have talked about a lot in this current election, is pulling votes away from a mainstream conservative candidate. And that's really a concern that's arising around Ron Paul, because I doubt he'll gain the nomination as the Republican candidate, but he's still gaining enough support, obviously, with these polls in Iowa and New Hampshire to draw a lot of the mainstream vote away from the front-running Republican candidate.
And Matt,
that's very true.
Speaking of what Matt's saying there, also real quick, Scotty, I have to say there's this incredible, if I could get to it here, you know, we've got so many people who are popping up sending messages right now on the interstudio message system. there's this story that came from BuzzFeed.com earlier where Ron Paul, okay, has apparently come out. The Ron Paul campaign have made this statement. They're literally saying, we urge Ron Paul's opponents who have been unsuccessful in trying to be the conservative alternative to Mitt Romney to unite by getting out of the race and uniting behind Paul's candidacy. And that was according to Jesse Benton, who was a campaign chair working for Ron Paul. So, you know, whoever it is that they end up uniting behind, this is going to be an interesting race. Scotty, I'm a lot like you. I don't really, you know, I think that every candidate, I don't look at people and say, hey, Democrat, you know, good or bad, or Republican, good or bad, or, you know, independent all the way. I say, you know, on an individual basis, the person, the merit of their character, the actions that they choose to use in their leadership, those are the things that make a candidate. I don't like the idea of Americans being forced to do things. That is not something that our country was founded on. That is not the kind of principle of liberty, and frankly, not the kind of you know, the kind of exemplary leadership that I think that we need in this country right now. So whatever,
I agree.
Yeah, exactly. And in truth, I agree with you. And in that sense, you know, again, you know, I don't want people to think that I'm a hard line one or, you know, the other. I'm kind of a middle of the road kind of person who says, look, put the most common sense person who is going to best protect our rights and our liberties in there. I do not think that the person that we have right now is doing that. And so with regard to what you're saying, indeed, it's well said, and that's the wonderful thing about this magazine that you are involved with, and of course which I write for as well, Intrepid Magazine, is that it is a forum for an alternative perspective, alternative news at its very finest. You'll get a little bit of paranormal, you'll get a little bit of history, you'll get some politics, you'll get everything. It's a mixed bag with Intrepid Magazine. So why then are we just doing a magazine? Why not take it to the next level, right, Scotty?
Well, you know, I am all about going to a magazine in paper and ink. The only problem is if you do not have the numbers and distribution to support that, and this is the sad thing, I would have already shot myself in the foot with Intrepid Mag. I'd be so far into debt with a printer, as opposed to just putting out a good magazine right now, that Intrepid would not survive. So it has to reach a place where there's a certain amount of subscription level, a certain amount of distribution level. And you don't get distribution with an electronic mag. You get distribution with a print and paper magazine. Once we get to that point and we can justify it at a certain number, we're going to go right to print.
Mm-hmm.
And a pile of investors right now, as a matter of fact, where we may get to that point a lot sooner than we had originally anticipated. Intrepid's been out since we did in February of 2010,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, 2011,
right.
We did the preview issue. Then issue number one came out in April. So we've been in existence really as a monthly magazine since April of this year. And I figure if we make it to April of 2012 before we go to print, that's in the blueprints anyway. We'll see what happens as it all starts actualizing.
Well, Scotty, you've been doing such a fantastic job with things already. And yeah, I'm a little biased probably since I've been writing for you since that inaugural issue. But when it comes to putting this into a different format now, you know, I was kind of hinting at something else. I you know, go ahead and let the cat out of the bag here. We've touched on this a good bit on the program. And frankly, a lot of interviews I'm doing these days, I'm talking about this also. In addition to Intrepid Magazine and working together, you and I, in that capacity, we've decided to involve ourselves in a public event that is going to take the kind of subject matter that you see in Intrepid Magazine. We're talking about archaeology and ancient alien kind of theories. We're going to talk about you know, religion, science, fringe science, UFOs, all these kind of things, and put this in a situation where people can come and be a part of something for a few days with us, with Intrepid Magazine, with the Graylian Report. We're talking about the Paradigm Symposium 2012 here.
Absolutely. Now, I got to tell you, and you probably mentioned this, this all started kind of a lark between you and I. We were talking several months ago, maybe 5 or 6 months ago, and said, you know, we ought to do something like you see with all these other paranormal types of events and things. Why don't we do something in that ancient alien category, that UFO category, do something like that that really pumps that up to a different level. And I know MUFON does some of these types of events, UFO conferences and things, but I thought, why can't we get Intrepid Mag and the cadre of writers and people we have behind this and do something like that? And you and I started off with just an idea, and it, of course, has evolved to what it is now.
Mm-hmm. Which is the Paradigm Symposium. Now, we're talking about doing this thing in early October. It's going to be in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we have a cadre of great writers. We've got a fantastic lineup of speakers. You know, we're still finalizing our list of speakers, but we've already got a fantastic lineup. I mean, I would want to go to this thing.
You know, Micah, I think it's safe at this point to let a little bit more of the cat out of the bag.
Okay.
I think we ought to tease people a little bit more with this.
We've got
a solid date. We've got a solid location. We've got solid commitments from our speakers. We've got a couple of speakers yet to give us the final commitment beyond the verbals that they gave us. But I'm going to give people a hint at who's going to be at this event and what makes this thing so special.
Let's lay it on the table.
Go ahead.
No, I said you go ahead and let's lay it on the table.
All right, here it is. We are doing this event, the Paradigm Symposium. It's going to be in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, lest anybody think, oh, my God, Minneapolis, isn't that the frozen tundra next to the Yukon? No, it's not. Minneapolis, Minnesota has a notorious reputation for being cold in the winter. You'll have January and February, which can get pretty icy. You know, you get downright Arctic weather up here. But the flip side of that is in the summer, we're damn close to subtropical. You know, this last summer, and all the summers I know in almost all my life have been, it's in the 100 degrees and it's 98 point dew points and it's hot and sweltering. The only reason we don't have palm trees here is that we have winter in the on the opposite side. We've got the seasonal transitions.
Yeah.
October is the month we've chosen to do this event. It's going to be the weekend of October 11th through the 14th. That's a Thursday through a Sunday in Minnesota. Now, just to give you some perspective on weather, for those who think operate under the misnomer that Minnesota is always Arctic, that weekend this last year, we were still in the 80 degrees and sunny and green grass, and there were still green leaves on the trees and people walking around barefoot in shorts and going swimming. So, you know, October is not bad. Now, the second weekend in October is traditionally considered up here to be peak autumn color seasons. That's when your trees are the brightest, most vibrant oranges and reds and yellows and so on, and it's always gorgeous. And we have up here what's called, politically correct or not, it's called Indian summer.
I see.
Usually late October to first of November, you have a resurgence of summer, and they call it Indian summer for centuries. Well, at least a century and a half that Minnesota's been in existence. So the weather up here, not a concern. If you're concerned about October and Minnesota, you hear those two in the same sentence, you're looking at beautiful weather. Minnesota, Minneapolis, is considered to be it's a major city. It's part of the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, one big metro area with two big downtown areas a few miles apart. You're talking about 10 million people live here. This is a huge metro area. It's considered to be part of the cultural corridor of the United States. I know it is one of the big, I've been in advertising all my life, it is the mecca of the North in advertising compared to Los Angeles and then Boston and then Minneapolis. Minneapolis is a big place, so people have to get Cowtown and cold out of their mind for October. So all that to say, Paradigm Symposium, October 11th through the 14th. Now, let's give a little hint about who's going to be here.
All right.
We started talking about getting some of the writers that I write for New Page Books. My book, by the way, if I can interject this in here, a little personal ad. My book, The Rise and Fall of the Nephilim, releases officially on February 22nd. through New Page Books, but I just got an email this afternoon that the books are in. I have my case of my author's case of books coming out this week already. Now, it doesn't release officially for a few more weeks, but that book is out, and Mike and I, maybe you'll have me on to talk about that book when it comes out.
I'll think about it.
There's big news, but many of the people that have written for the magazine, and as you know, I wrote for, I edited and wrote for, I was the editor-in-chief of Taps Paramag, the Ghost Hunters from Sci-Fi Channel, their official magazine. And when I was there, I made relationships with a lot of writers. Then I left that outfit about a little over a year ago now and founded Intrepid Magazine. And those writers came with me and are writing for me. And I wanted to start out this symposium by getting some of those people. This is what Micah and I talked about, and maybe some of the other people we knew. I know Bill Burns from Ancient Aliens and UFO Hunters. So I talked to Bill, and Bill said, absolutely, yes, I'll be there. So Bill Burns from Ancient Aliens, then he said to me, why don't I get some of the other guys from Ancient Aliens to come to the symposium? So according to Bill Burns, we have secured not only Bill Burns, but Philip Coppens, who I have also talked to and confirmed with him. He's going to be on as a speaker. He just released his new book, The Ancient Alien Question, through New Page Books a couple of months ago. He will be at the symposium. And we also have Giorgio Tsoukalos. Now, he is somebody I have not talked to personally, but Bill Burns has guaranteed me he will be here. So we have those three talking heads from Ancient Aliens. Now, on top of that, we have an amazing speaker who has not made an American appearance in almost 10 years. And this is none other than Eric Van Daniken, who wrote the original book back in the 1960s, 1968, Chariots of the Gods. And he's written several books since then, I think 30 books since then. And his new book, Odyssey of the Gods, just came out through New Page Books last month or just the month before that. So we have all these authors that I know through my publisher, through through the magazine. We have these speakers have all given us a confirmation that they will be here speaking at this event that weekend. Eric Van Daniken will be here. He is our headline speaker. We also have some people that have made some commitments but are not have not given us the final word yet, but have given us verbals. Guys like, if I can say a name like George Norrie, that's a possibility. But it's more than a possibility, but he's one. We have authors like Paul Von Ward, who wrote We Have Never Been Alone, and he has also authored some books with New Page Books. We have Marie D. Jones and Larry Flaxman. We have, if you've ever heard of Laird Scranton, Laird Scranton is, you see him on a lot of the Talking Head shows, Ancient Aliens, you see him on the Discovery Channel, the History Channel. He's been tightly associated with Walter Crittenden of the Binary Research Institute. But Laird Scranton, just in this month of Intrepid, the January issue, which will be out in just days, he wrote an excerpt from his book on the Velikovsky heresies. Now, Velikovsky, are you familiar with who that is, Micah?
I'm not, actually.
Immanuel Velikovsky, I believe it was in the 20s, put forward the, maybe a little later than that, he was a contemporary of Einstein's, and he put forth the theory that the planet Venus actually was a split off of Jupiter, and it careened through the solar system, bounced off of our moon, and headed into its current orbit around the sun. And he claims that this happened around 1500 B.C., Now, this was his big theory, and he was poo-pooed in the scientific community, and it was really, you didn't speak the name Velikovsky in scientific circles when it came to astronomy. And now, the things that he spoke about, though, have one by one been coming to be proven to be scientific fact. And what Laird Scranton has done, he's writing a book called The Velikovsky Heresies, and he has written an article for us for Intrepid Mag. He will be speaking at the event. We also have John Ventry. He's the big cheese, and I don't even know what to call him, director of the Pennsylvania chapter of MUFON. But he is also very well known. He's got a television show out there, too. I've seen only a couple of episodes on UFOs, and I cannot think the name of it. But John Ventry will be there. We have Anthony F. Sanchez, who wrote the book UFO Highway. And Anthony puts forward it's not a theory, what do you want to call it? He puts forth the discussions on the Belche base that is beneath, I believe it's beneath New Mexico and Arizona, and all the conspiracy behind that. We have several other, we have a potentially bringing in a man named Dr. John Ward, a good friend of mine who is an archaeologist on the ground in Luxor, Egypt, and making new discoveries there. He runs the Sirius Project with Dr. Maria Nilsson. And they are very serious, peer-reviewed type of archaeologists, but alongside the serious work that they do, they are also very much into the spirituality and the paranormal, if you will, and the spirit side of things. And we had quite lengthy conversations about this. And they have to balance out whether or not they can do this and maintain the credibility in their field, which is a sad thing, by the way. Maybe you can comment on this. I was talking in an interview with Phil Coppins, which is in last month's Intrepid magazine. Mm-hmm. He was talking about the sad state of the ancient alien theories or field of research and study. He said, if only we could get the scientists and the archaeologists to back this up, but they will not, because it tends to make them look less credible. And that's one of the hurdles that we have in this field of research with ancient aliens, ancient alien archaeology, ancient alien anthropology, DNA interruption, all of these kinds of things. It's poo-pooed in the mainline scientific communities, archaeological communities, but there are people who believe it, but they can't talk about it, or they lose their credibility and their peer status in those communities. So John is somebody who possibly, you and I were just talking about him today, mm-hmm. possibly may have John out. But this gives you a hint at the kind of people that are involved in this event. We've got Ian Punnett, who does the weekend Coast to Coast. Ian Punnett's been a friend of mine for about 10 years. He does he's on one of the big Clear Channel stations up here, has done a morning talk radio show for years. And he and his wife, Marge, they do a morning talk show now, 4 hours every morning of the week, other than Saturday and Sunday, on one of the big powerhouse Clear Channel talk stations.
Staying busy, huh?
And he is coming to, and he does Coast to Coast Weekend, and he's coming to moderate the panel discussion where all of our speakers, on Vanekin, Nori, if he's there, Ancient Aliens guys, all of our speakers will be in a panel discussion in a dinner theater style after the banquet on our Saturday night, and Ian Punnett is there to moderate that panel discussion.
I'm certainly looking forward to Ian, Ian coming on board with this. And again, the thing, too, is, this is a fantastic lineup of speakers. The only one I wouldn't say dispute by any means, but, I'll believe it when I see it when Giorgio signs on 100%. I know that,
I know.
I know what Bill Burns said about, he said he could get Giorgio for this. And Bill Burns, of course, has agreed to be there. Philip Coppins has agreed to be there. Nick Redfern, all these other fantastic people. Giorgio these
Good
days.
I forgot him, yep.
Yeah, Giorgio, I'll believe that when I see it. But who knows?
Giorgio,
I have tried to contact him many times, haven't gotten a response from him. Talked to Bill Burns about him. I said, do you think he's viable for this event? And Bill said, Scotty. And he changes his voice. He actually says this on the phone to me. Bill goes, Scotty, Giorgio will be there.
Well,
I guarantee it.
I tell you,
we'll wait and see.
I know Bill, and I've worked with him. I love Bill and Nancy both. They're fantastic. They got a great magazine down there that they're doing too. Well, up there, they've moved.
They do. UFO magazine.
UFO magazine, indeed. And we advertise for them as well as Intrepid here on this program. But I hope Bill can put his money where his mouth is this time if he's going to do that. Chris, I know you're itching to get on the microphone. We got to go pay some bills here in a second, so go ahead, sir.
Well, I just want to know if Giorgio is going to be able to agree to do an exhibition boxing match with me, because I've been trying to get in touch with him forever, and he's either not responded or
why
responded
wouldn't he respond
very
to that?
Kind of rudely.
Why wouldn't he respond
know,
to that?
But he's got to grow a handlebar mustache. We've got to do it right.
That's
exhibition
right.
Bare knuckle boxing.
See,
match.
Scotty, this sounds like the kind of thing you'd be into, We're going to do
Absolutely.
This like a gentleman's duel, No, okay.
If we do that, we're all going to have to grow big, bushy handlebar
there
mustaches.
Yeah.
And slick back our hair, part it in the middle, slick it back, and go barefisted with the big tights, the striped tights, and the belts and the big boots, and bare-chested, and then we'll all have to, with tattoos that say mom on them or something.
Scotty, I think you and Chris were separated at birth.
Covered. We've got it.
You guys have got it. Yeah. Well, you know, okay, and the only thing, the only other thing I'll say about Giorgio is that if he can't be there in person, would he at least send a lock of that incredible, sucalicious hair of his to
maybe
be there?
Maybe scrape off some of that fake tan.
You know, some people...
There you go.
Chris, you always leave it to Chris Hayes to go beyond the point. You know, let me take it right up to the edge where, you know, we are start feeling a little uncomfortable, and then Chris is just going to take us completely beyond the threshold. Thank you, Chris.
Beyond the fridge.
We completely...
Well, I'll take it one step further. We'll auction it if he sends it.
Okay, very good. Yes, we'll do that. Scotty, thanks for joining us here on the program, as always, and telling us about Paradigm Symposium 2012. There will be more updates as this comes together, and thank you so much, of course, for dropping in here on the program and telling us about this.
Well, thanks for having me, Micah. Thanks for letting me spill the beans. And there's no tickets for sale yet, but watching the upcoming, I hope, days, less than weeks, we will have the website actually visible to the public and tickets for sale.
Indeed, and we'll have that information posted on the website, GraylianReport.com, as well as IntrepidMagazine.com. Now, of course, outside the airwaves, Scotty, expect another phone call from me tomorrow. More ideas as they're coming together, and I've got many things to share with you. For the time being, we're going to let you go. Keep up the
fantastic.
Thank you so much. Keep up the fantastic work with Intrepid Magazine, and I'll be talking to you soon, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Mike. See you, Chris.
As always,
Bye.
Have a great evening.
Bye.
We'll see you. All right. He didn't say goodbye to Matt. That's okay. Matt.
That's okay. I'm you know, secondary.
He must have listened last week and thought that you weren't on the program anymore. But anyway, you know, I don't think we're going to...
That's what I did, too.
We're not going to get Giorgio, though. I just had a premonition, and I'll tell you exactly why we're not going to get him. Because of that comment that Chris Hayes made.
Because he's scared
of me. One day I'm going to teach Chris Hayes to hold his tongue. Whatever you think you're not supposed to say on the program, but you're going to say anyway. Never mind. Anyway, we're going to have a little talk later, you and I. Boss man, look at this.
Is it going to be pillow talk?
No. Get out of here, Chris. We'll be back right after this.
Ranger Station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting in the forest.
Uh-huh.
One second I'm having a smoke. Next thing I know, I'm face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Wow.
And he told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
Did you know 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous and you're not. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
The Graylian Report with Micah Hanks. To join the program by phone, call 828-398-4886. Skype users can reach the program by calling Skype ID Graylian Report. And now, from hundreds of miles beneath terra firma, in the depths of the hollow earth, live from the Graylian Bunker, it's Micah Hanks.
Your voice of reason in an unreasonable world. Welcome back to the program. I'm Micah Hanks, the mouth of the South, and this, my friends, is the Graylian Report. We have had a fantastic time this evening talking with owner and innkeeper here at Reynolds Mansion, Mr. Billy Sanders, who has stepped out of the room, of course, because he's got duties to attend to for tomorrow. But he literally blocked off this entire evening on his schedule and had a bunch of ne'er-do-wells, the likes of me and Chris Hayes, and especially the Reverend Matt Oakley. You may be a holy man, but that doesn't say a whole lot more about you and your character in my eyes, Matt. You'll always be a lout to me. Just wanted you to know that. But that said, you know, again, looking ahead to next week's program, we're going to be joined, I believe, for an entire two-hour segment by a fantastic author. And if you haven't heard of Nigel Kerner, if you haven't read Nigel Kerner's theories, you know, I'm going to be putting out a very bold hypothetical. Yeah, people are laughing already. Bold hypotheses. But, you know, that's the thing is, when it comes to studying something like UFOs, we've got to start thinking outside the box. And I think that there is enough evidence of something that we can utilize to justify bold new theories about what UFOs could represent, both psychically, and when I say psychically, not in terms of, like, you know, looking into someone else's mind, but in terms of, you know, how they interact with the human psyche, as well as in a physics sense, in a physical sense, whether they could represent physics anomalies that warp space and time as we know it. You know, there are a lot of things, even just the philosophical implications of thinking about UFOs, whether or not they even existed. I think the implications of thinking about space, deep space, non-human life forms, and interaction with intelligent communications, there are a lot of things that we could stand to gain from by thinking carefully and critically about these sorts of subjects. And a new book that I'll be dealing with, I've already announced this evening officially one very incredibly special new book that's going to be coming out very soon having to do with this location. And of course, I'll be authoring that. Billy Sanders, our host with the ghost this evening from earlier on the program, he's actually going to be penning a foreword for that book about this place. But in addition to all these other fantastic things that are coming together for 2012, there will be a UFO book that will deal with some of these potentials and some of my own more bizarre futuristic hypotheses pertaining to the UFO phenomenon. And there's one other guy out there who's really kind of touched on some of those same sort of ideas, and I wasn't even aware of it until his publicist contacted me and said, look, could we have Nigel Kerner, author of the new book that he's going to be discussing on the program, which we'll talk about here in just a moment. Can we book Nigel Kerner for your program? I think he would be a good match for what you do, and I agree. I, in fact, think that Nigel Kerner is a fantastic, brilliant mind. He's got some far-out theories, but he also incorporates things like the singularity and how exactly an extraterrestrial intelligence might be able to travel through the rigors of deep space and survive. All these kind of things are being addressed in his new book, Gray Aliens and the Harvesting of Souls. And so I think it's going to be fascinating to be able to talk with Nigel. He has appeared on a number of radio programs talking about this, and this book is available in major bookstores everywhere. I think Bering Company is the company that has put this book out. Of course, his website is Nigel Kerner. That's KERNER.com. He asks, who are they? Where do they come from? What do they want from us? Well, his new book, again, Gray Aliens and the Harvesting of Souls, deals with that. It's pretty far out, but I'd like to talk with Nigel about this and maybe how the role of a futurist, a person who looks at scientific possibilities of tomorrow, how that can work into understanding the UFO phenomenon, which is something near and dear to my soul. And that will be, of course, something that you'll hear a lot more about from yours truly in the coming year. But in the immediate sense, we can look forward to next week when Mr. Nigel Kerner joins us on the program. Also, if you haven't been over to GrayAlienReport.com yet and looked at the fantastic fan art we've got, Chris, have we got a picture up of you as the potato baby yet?
Well, yeah, it's on our Facebook fan page. I don't know if it's on the Gray Alien Report web page yet. Because
why don't you know?
Because that's all you. You won't give me the password.
See, there he goes saying things on the air that he shouldn't be saying. One of these days I'm going to learn. You're going to learn one of these days to say, I locked my key in the magical treasure chest downstairs. Cut his microphone off.
I've got the password. It's off. Stop.
Not mine.
The beauty is, he can't, you see, there's no console for it to separate him from you tonight, Matt, so now he's...
Oh, my mic's back on. Anyway, what I meant to say...
What did you mean to say, Chris? Because I think you misspoke earlier.
I lost my privileges to the website because I abused them last time.
You abused them? Yeah, like last segment, right? picking on Giorgio again. He's never going to come to the conference. He's never going to come to Paradigm if you keep picking on him.
If at the very least, it'll be a grudge match. He'll want to I guess, get me back for all the horrible things I've been saying.
Hey, can you grow a handlebar mustache?
Oh.
Just do it.
Can I grow a handlebar? I shaved my entire face 2 weeks ago, and look what I got.
Yeah, you have facial hair. And yes. And tattoos. Those grow, too.
Yeah. They grow on trees.
Yeah.
They multiply with water.
You know,
that makes no sense.
You know what that reminds me of? No.
Matt, turn your own microphone off. Turn your own microphone off.
He's a good guy. Look at that. He turned his microphone off. You don't have to really do that. Matt, we missed you so much this week. You should talk twice as much this week just to make up for missing you last time around.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, I mean it. Hey, listen. Hold on. I think I hear a clock chiming in the background. You hear that? I also hear Chris doing something silly over here.
Hey, that clock chime was really ominous, and it was not just with the, I guess, the house sounds and the clock chime. It just sounded like some really ominous organ music. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you hear slightly ominous sounds all throughout this place. Gosh, I wish people who are listening right now could be here and be a part of what we are experiencing right now. This has been such a remarkable experience, sitting here doing the show live from the library in a haunted mansion. I mean, it's a three-story mansion, huge, 18 rooms, built in 1847. That was before the American Civil War. There are incredible paintings and works of art throughout this entire place. And up here on the wall above the bookcase behind me is literally a portrait of Jonathan Frid portraying the vampire Barnabas Collins from Dark Shadows. You know, there's going to be a new film about Dark Shadows coming out later this year, starring Johnny Depp. I can't wait. I love Johnny Depp films. You know, his portrayal of Hunter Thompson, you know, and all these classic characters is just so good.
Not Hunter Thompson, Raoul Duke.
Well, you know.
My only beef with
Duke Depp is Thompson. Thompson is Duke. It's code. Damn it. Sorry.
My only beef with Depp being Barnabas Collins is he, I don't know, Barnabas just has much more physical presence than Johnny Depp does, because Johnny Depp's kind of a slight guy. I don't know if he
Are can, you saying he's small?
What?
I would never call anyone small.
Okay, well,
ever.
What about
just checking?
What about Bert Devlin?
Bert Devlin. What do you know about Bert Devlin?
I know Ernie Devlin.
Bert Devlin has this weird unibrow.
It's all on page 20 of the report. Yeah, you know, I think. Let me ask what people think here. Email us this week. Let us know your thoughts. Would you watch Graylian TV? Graylian, imagine the Graylian Report. I mean, I'm even thinking potentially with a more comedic element, but I'm thinking that 2012, we need to take this operation both, you know, onto a larger scale radio situation, but I think we also need to begin to incorporate television, the visual medium, into this as well. Would that be interesting to you, or would you rather not have to see our faces made for radio? I think we'd actually make a pretty damned funny television program if we were to serialize the Graylian Report as the adventures of Matt, Micah, and Chris. Maybe that's something you would like to see more of as well. Let us know if you would. You can email us at info@graylianreport.com. Also, shoot one of these knuckleheads, producer at Graylian. Don't shoot them, but shoot them an email. Producer at graylianreport.com is Chris Hayes, and then, of course, engineer at graylianreport for Matt Oakley, the guy who almost set up everything tonight. Of course, he was running a little bit late because, you know, I thought you were going to bail on us again this week, actually.
No, I wasn't going to.
Well, either way, we managed to get through, and at the last minute, we've made this a fairly workable scenario tonight. Hopefully, the audio is going to be usable from the podcast that we're recording tonight. And I'll just tell you this, it's, you know, we're not recording on our usual machines. We're having to use a lot of our surplus, you know, remote field recording equipment and things like that for tonight. Truly, I'm not making this up. I mean, we're broadcasting from an 1847, three-story, 18-room, haunted bed and breakfast on a mountain, okay?
Micah.
At least we have internet here.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's helpful.
Micah, I just want to let you know, according to a recent Graylian Report listener poll, the answer is a resounding yes, we do a television show.
Who did that poll that quickly?
Everyone who's listening live just said yes.
Oh, we've got people in the chat room. You know, if you aren't already participating in the chat, You can log in at our Ustream page, and you can participate in the chat room there. That's fascinating. I think people seem to like that idea. And what about those of you who download this as a podcast? You can email us, of course, again, info@graylianreport.com. Or if you're interested in text messaging, you can always send us text messages as well to reach us here on the program. And what is the text message number? Do we have that? 828-367-7201. That's the one we're looking forward to hearing from you, as always. 828-367-7201. I got some funny texts from people this week, though. Seriously, here was one. This is my favorite for one this week. Somebody just said, "I just love you, Micah." I hope they really mean that.
You've read this like 8 times.
Twice.
All right?
2 times.
Well, I mean 8 times to me.
No.
I'm sick of hearing about it.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't, yep. Matt.
Hey, Matt, did we send you to opinion school?
So 2 times. I'm reading messages from people. I love how the production staff here on Graylian Report have an intuitive ability to say creepy or misrepresentative things. I try and read listener emails and text messages. People still texting us saying Mitt Romney's winning the primary. I'm glad people out there listening are following the New Hampshire thing. Again, I think that there's a fairly wide margin there. But I mentioned 2 times, "I just love you, Micah," that someone said. I don't even know who that is. And Matt has to make a big deal out of it because...
He's just kidding, man.
I know, but...
He's
jealous that no one says, "I just love you, Matt."
I think that's what it is. I think he's jealous because...
Well, you get pictures painted of you, and then you get...
Well, that's because I look like Adonis.
You like a what? Adonis?
I look like Adonis. Adonis.
Adonis?
I have Adonis DNA.
Well...
And I drink tiger blood.
You know, I'll tell you what. Speaking of incredible experiences... Never mind. I'm just going to tell people, look, go to the Graylian Report right now. Front and center, what we have linked there on the main page at the Graylian Report is a video. To see this video, you're going to have to look at the primary page, and then you're going to have to click on... read more of this entry. When you click on that, you'll see the picture of Chris Hayes with the Hadal High Priestess. But when you click read more of this entry, we've got this video linked of an American photojournalist who hit it off with a group of silverback gorillas during a recent excursion, okay, into the forests, into the wilds, the remote wilds of Africa. This is truly a remarkable piece of footage. Go check that out. It's at graylianreport.com right now. We've got it linked right there. We talked last week about a chimpanzee who's learned to build fire, and this video, again, I mean, it is humbling looking at the size of the male silverback gorilla in this video and the way that the guy interacts with these little children. What happens is the little gorillas start grooming him. So when we're talking about wild things and incredible experiences like we do on this program, that's something we link to the website for that very reason. I think that it's something that a lot of people who are in search of the ultimate wild experience, that would have to be one of them. It may not be a paranormal experience per se. It's pretty close to it, though. But something else I wanted to touch on again this evening as well was a pretty bizarre story that we came across just prior to air tonight. This one was reported earlier this week by BBC News. And it's talking about how Stephen Hawking, the famous physicist, continues to defy the odds of medicine. A health reporter by the name of Michelle Roberts reported that Professor Hawking, and this is pretty remarkable, the guy has literally been defying death, okay, essentially for 50 years. At age 70, he's long defied and baffled medical experts who predicted that he had only months to live. This was all the way back in 1963 when he was diagnosed with motor neuron disease. You know, I have to say, even though he's wheelchair ridden, even though he's unable to move, even though he's only able to speak using a special device that allows him to interpret his, what he looks at, essentially, I think is how this thing works. This program designed to allow him to continue to communicate. You know, despite all those things, to be 70 years old, he really looks pretty good, all things considered. Especially when you take into consideration that after being diagnosed with motor neuron disease, way back in 1963, look, let me tell you, 1963, okay, the first X-Men comic book came out, if I remember correctly. I mean, you know, back in the day when you could buy these things for 10 cents on the newsstand, you know, 1963, the Beatles, the Fab Four, you know, the British invasion was underway. That's when Stephen Hawking was diagnosed with motor neuron disease. And he was told then he only had just a few months to live. Now, only 5% of people who have the particular form of MND that afflicts Hawking, okay, only 5% ever survive for more than a decade, roughly 10 years following that kind of diagnosis. And yet he has continued on now. He has continued on after being essentially handed a death sentence. He's continued on for close to half a century. Almost half a century. The fact that Professor Hawking has lived for nearly half a century with a condition that progressively attacks the nerves serving the muscles of the body has been described as remarkable. And though it is incurable, this gentleman nonetheless represents quite a medical anomaly. And, of course, Hawking himself says, I've been lucky that my condition has progressed more slowly than is often the case, but it shows that one not need to lose hope when they're diagnosed with such a condition. He says, I'm quite often asked, how do you feel about having ALS? And the answer is, well, not a lot. I try to lead as normal a life as possible and not think about my condition or regret the things that it prevents me from doing, which are not that many. Doctors are still, of course, in the dark about what exactly causes motor neuron disease. But, you know, when you have someone like Stephen Hawking, it seems to be a little glimmer of hope in the darkness. Maybe, indeed, he represents aspects of something that could contribute to a cure. A cure that in the future other people will be able to apply and will be able to lengthen their lives and perhaps even enjoy in the midst of the onset of disease, much like Hawking has. His contributions are innumerable. It's quite remarkable. We'll be back right after this.
August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report here. I just wanted to take a minute, well, really just 30 seconds, to tell you a little about a wonderful project I'm privileged to be a part of these days. It's called Intrepid Magazine. Intrepid is an eclectic melting pot of a variety of different areas of interest, ranging from politics and fringe science to mysteries of the unexplained. You'll hear from authors like Nick Redfern, April Slaughter, Marie D. Jones, and Larry Flaxman, editor and publisher Scotty Roberts, and, of course, yours truly. It's Intrepid Magazine, boldly going. Period. Subscribe today. Visit www.intrepidmag.com.
Wrapping up the final segment of tonight's program. Welcome back to the program. It is the Graylian Report. I'm Micah Hanks. Coming in with a little of the Rat Jackson Band there. A personal favorite of Mr. Chris Hayes, our producer. Brian in Tennessee writes, how's this for synchronicity? 12 years I worked with a musician named Micah who lived in Michigan. Now I listen to this show. Thank you, Brian in Tennessee. We hope many of you out there listen to this program and enjoy it on a weekly basis. We certainly enjoy hearing from folks like you. You know, see, that seems to be the way, even though we call it talk radio, with the modern convenience of being able to email, Skype, text message, and all these other different kinds of communication, you know, you have to open up the playing field. John B. Wells, the fellow who, and again, I hate to correct my accomplice and esteemed colleague, Mr. Scotty Roberts, but earlier he'd mentioned that Ian Punnett is a weekend host for Coast to Coast AM. Well, a former weekend host. You know, if people aren't aware of this, unfortunately, Ian Punnett has begun to suffer from tinnitus in his ears from doing years and years of live radio. I mean, keeping in mind, he does 4 hours every weekday morning with his wife as a morning host in Minneapolis. And then, of course, he was also doing two nights on weekends for Coast to Coast AM so that George Norrie could have the weekends off. Poor Ian is going to have to resign from that position now, as I understand. He'll come back from time to time as a part-time host. But that didn't dissuade him from coming and agreeing to moderate the panel for the event that Scotty and I are going to be holding in Minneapolis later this year. Indeed, Ian Punnett of Coast to Coast is going to be moderating the guest panel, where we'll have a bunch of the guest speakers at the event who will be discussing a variety of subjects on a panel discussion at dinner. Ian's going to join us for dinner. Ian's going to join us there on the panel. He's going to moderate the discussion, and he's going to be there at the Paradigm Symposium. So you know what we'll have to do is, in the very near future, we'll get, especially as more details come together, because as you can tell and as I've said, and as I've told Scotty, of course, you know, to remind people that this is still in the planning stages. Right now, you know, we have verbal commitments from a lot of people. We're still working out all the details for how this is exactly going to come together. We have other commitments from people like Bill Burns, who claim that they're going to be able to get other people involved. Again, I'll believe that when I see that. But there are a number of people, and virtually all the people that Scotty's mentioned, who have confirmed already and said, yes, hey, let us know the details as you get this together. And when we do, we'll also have Mr. Ian Punnett join us on the program here, hopefully to discuss that as well. That's going to be fantastic, and I'm so glad that Ian's going to be able to join us on the program. He's a great guy. It's good to have him on. Oh, one more time before the end of the evening. You hear that? You can hear the clock chiming in the background down the hallway there here at the Reynolds Mansion. Guys, what did you think about our first remote broadcast of 2012?
Perfect. Couldn't have gone better.
Watch your plosives.
Sorry.
That's okay. We need to get him one of these little things. See, he's got a pop. No. It's, you know why that's happening tonight? Even the engineer knows this kind of thing. You know, we're not using our normal stuff. It's a remote broadcast. Yeah. So, but no, I tell you, this was a pretty good program. And I tell you, folks, with this Paradigm Symposium, I mean, I don't want to tell people to just sit at home and listen. You want to be at this event. You don't want to miss this. But let me tell you, we will be broadcasting live from that location as well. So it was great that we got to try out some of our equipment here for a live remote broadcast. Maybe
And let's give one more throw out to this wonderful place we're broadcasting from.
Well, yeah,
tonight.
Of course. And, of course, Mr. Billy Sanders, the present owner, who joined us for the first 2 hours of the program, sharing his insight and his knowledge, his vast, you know, knowledge. That guy is like historian-in-chief here. He's remarkable, and so that was fantastic. We're very gracious to Billy for having us here, and of course to all the ghosts for not hounding us and turning off the power and stuff during this broadcast. We made it through without a hitch, maybe a little rough around the edges, but that's kind of how it goes, you know, when you're doing a live broadcast. I would come back here and do another broadcast. I think this is a great location, and plus it's kind of nice to be in a room that's well enough lit that I can see both of you guys, you know. Broadcasting down there in the bunker, it can get a little dank. You
know, not only is it lighter, it's just phenomenal in here.
Like
you said earlier, we're in the library.
Yeah.
And it wall-to-wall books and, you know, it's pretty amazing.
You're jonesing on the decor here, you know?
I really am. I'm enjoying it a lot.
It's like I told Billy, you know, if he would just learn how to decorate, I think he'd have it worked out. No. If you go, again, to thereynoldsmansion.com, just have a look there. You know, the clock's already caught us, really, but, I mean, there's so much that could be said about this place, so I'm probably going to run a little late. But, you know, hey, I want to do something else I don't normally do. You know, Matt, you've had a chance to speak. Chris, I want to give you the final word tonight. Take it away.
Kill us, Mike.
Take it away, killer.
Well, I mean, really.
Speak up. Get on your microphone.
I don't know what can be said that hasn't already been said this evening about the glorious house in
Thoughts,
which we are.
Reflections about the state of affairs here at Reynolds Mansion.
I love the mansion. This is only the second time I've been here. First time, obviously, that I've recorded from here. And like Billy said, when one of his guests mentioned that there was a healing energy here, I didn't pick that up. But immediately, the first time I walked in here, it felt like it had a feeling of home, which most large houses or, you know, places for transients like hotels, bed and breakfast, things like that don't have.
It has an incredible vibe to it. It has an incredible feeling, and indeed we're very thankful to have been able to broadcast here this week. We're thankful for that. And, of course, my friends, as always, we're thankful for every one of you out there in Radio Land. On behalf of Chris Hayes, Matt Oakley, Dick Oakley, John Anderson, Voice of the Mountains, our wonderful Secretary Holly back at Graylian International Headquarters, and all of you out there in the listening audience who tune in every week from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time to find out what is weird, what is wild, and what's going on in the world of anomalistics. It is the Graylian Report. I'm your happy host, Mr. Micah Hanks, the Mouth of the South. And until next time, my friends, as always, stay strange.